Sasha, are you ready? Good evening. Let's call this meeting to order the Champaign County Board for Committee of the Whole Highway Facilities and ELOT. It's Tuesday, March 1st, 2011. The time is 6:05. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Benzel. Berkson.
Here.
Beth.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Coert.
Present.
Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michael. Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Present.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Present.
Rosales. Sapp.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Weibel.
Here. Do we have a quorum? I seek approval of the minutes from Committee of the Whole for February 10th, 2011.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Butts. Second by Ms. Ammons. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda and the addendum.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Carter. Second by Mr. Butts.
Sure.
Discussion. Mr. Kurtz.
Yes. I'd like to move to the front of the agenda from ELOC 9A, preliminary recommendation for County Board for Zoning Ordinance Amendment.
Good.
Second.
All right. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none. Further discussion. So all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. We have a thick stack of public participants today. I'll remind you, we can allot a total of 1 hour. Each person is allowed 5 minutes maximum. So the first person is Bill Welker.
Good evening. My name is Bill Welter. I live at 2124 Harpertown Circle, Champaign, Illinois. Glad to be there and a happy resident. Just want to say thank you to the board members for listening to us tonight. It's impressive to see the democratic process in play. And because of that, I'd like to voice our opinion on the Olympian Drive project. And representing a local business and our mechanical contractors, we can see that affect directly jobs that could be created in the future. So we support the green option of this project. I'd just like to make a statement. Again, thank you for your time, and I hope you vote yes on that.
Mr. Eichhagen.
Thank you. I'm Eric Thorsland. I'm here with just a few things tonight. First of all, we're all going to talk about Olympian Road tonight, and I think Dorothy and Toto probably had the right idea, and that would be to follow the yellow brick road. It is certainly needed to cross that bridge. We've talked about that before. It's needed to connect that to Lincoln Avenue, and I think the least offensive way to do that, and the one that actually gives you the most potential for development on both sides of that road, is the yellow. I know they're all S's, but that's the least wiggly S for those of us who have all our stuff in black and white. As far as the illustrious 4.1.5, as a Farm Bureau member, as a farmer, as a person who suffered through and or enjoyed all of Big Small All in the CZR and Farm Bureau policy for years, and I'm not speaking for Farm Bureau, but just as a member, the original position of all of those things was 1 per 40. The compromise was 2 per 40 to get the LRMP to go through. I find it interesting that definitions seem to have shifted just a little bit, and now we're up to 3, which is in fact 200% more, at least, than what we originally talked about. So, and I use the new tax math, which means that everything is in at least double digits. And the only other thing I think of note is that at some point, I've talked about it before, it would be interesting to see the committees rotate. Tonight we have a really loaded ELOC committee, and it's the last. Highway is busy tonight, but not often as busy. And I commend Mr. Kurtz on moving at least one of the things to the front, although that's the only thing on there, just an advisory thing tonight. Thank you, and good night.
Ms. Laura Weiss.
Good evening. I'm Laura Wise, President and CEO of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. First, I wish to publicly thank the County Board for supporting the Olympian Drive Lincoln Avenue Alignment Project. This project is critical to the continued economic stability and growth of our county. Last week and today, we asked members of the Chamber to contact County Board members to show their support for the green alignment of Lincoln Avenue. The emails that each of you have received from our voter voice system is communication directly from your own constituents. Our system is designed to read addresses and select the elected officials for that address. I point this out so that members of this board know that not only are these chamber members speaking, but they are also your constituents speaking to you. Knowing the potential for this project, the Chamber wishes to communicate to the County Board that we are in support of executing the project as efficiently and as cost-effective as possible. This is why the Chamber supports the green alignment for Lincoln Avenue. Choosing to go another direction at this point could result in delays and will cost the taxpayers additional dollars for a new study. The green alignment was the public's chosen alignment in 1991, and we believe that the County Board should respect the public's input. If tonight's vote results in a green alignment being voted down, the Chamber respectfully asks the County Board to redirect county staff to identify a route that can be completed in the most cost-effective and timely manner. If the green alignment fails tonight, and we hope it does not, then we believe that the next best solution is to find a route that falls further south of the Squire Homestead and more north of the proposed green alignment. Thank you.
Mr. John Dimmitt.
John Dimmitt, President and CEO of the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation. We just this afternoon finished a letter and submitted it to many of you electronically, and then I, at the caucuses, made sure that each one of you had one in the hard copy. The bottom line of the Economic Development Corporation is that we feel a need to have this project, the Olympian Drive project, along with the Lincoln Avenue project, completed in the most cost-effective and quickest way possible. We stand in support of the Green Route, but understanding that if the Green Route fails to, as the Chamber has spoken, if the Green Route fails to gather sufficient support for its adoption, then I would kindly draw your attention to the last few points in our letter where we indicated that we next feel that the most cost-effective and quickest way to approach this is to look at some kind of a compromise between the red line and the green line so that this project can be undertaken without any delay in the construction phase. That particular compromise does allow us to move forward and not lose any time with the construction phase, and that's why we're strongly in favor of that. But primarily, we know that things are set for the green route. There are no further studies that have to be done. There's no additional money that has to be wasted on additional studies. And so we primarily support the green route, but if that is not the wisdom, the collective wisdom of this group, then we ask you to look at that other option. Thank you.
Ms. Janet Charlo.
Janet Charlo, 3610 North Lincoln, Urbana, Illinois. I just have a quick point that I would like to make on both the green and the red routes. I presume you both are all familiar with those. And both of the green and the red route end at Olympian Drive and Lincoln Avenue. There's nothing to prevent, and I would like to know what may prevent, truck traffic from starting at Lincoln Avenue and going north onto the oil and chip road that is currently maintained by our township and that we pay taxes. Currently, it's posted no truck traffic on Lincoln Avenue, and we have lots of truck traffic on Lincoln Avenue. Therefore, that is why we have always looked at the yellow or more westerly route. You would come over the bridge, stop as you come over the bridge, and then come south. It's all equipped for truck traffic, whereas this oil and chip road over here, where you're going to be allow trucks to come and then turn north, there's nothing to stop that, and they're going to just destroy our roads. And I think that needs to come into consideration as you consider these routes, that there are some impacts to our local road system. Secondly, as you consider possibly a change from the green to the red or the yellow or the blue or whatever you may change, the landowners out there would like to request that perhaps one of us could participate in that tweaking of any route so that the least impact can be done to the least amount of people, and that the route would then be one that would be acceptable to all landowners and residences in the area. Thank you.
Mr. William Bates.
My name is William Bates. I have the farm next to Shirley Squire's farm. And a couple of things I'd like to bring to your attention tonight. This is a document that you guys presented. Olympian Lincoln Special Committee, October 28, 2010, that you guys presented. And kind of the conclusion I got from what's going on here is that you got a division between engineering, science, and politics. And what's going on is that the engineers have studied these routes that you're not proposing as the yellow route, maybe a compromise with the red route. For years they've been studied and they've been rejected. And for some reason, some people have decided that they're going to bring these very same routes up for a vote from a political standpoint. I was here at the last board meeting, and your engineer and the Urbana engineer came up here and time after time after time said, it will not work. It's been studied. Board members, one or two, well, they built Hoover, they said Hoover Dam couldn't be built. Why can't we build this? The fact of the matter is Lincoln Avenue is already built. And the majority of it is going to continue to remain built with the exception of a slight addition over the ditch. So why are we having this problem? You got the scientists and engineers here saying this is how it should be done, and you got the politicians here that aren't paying attention to the engineers. Somebody's going to win, but if the wrong person wins, and for example, 121,000, 178,000 to restudy the same route that Hansen Engineering Study presented to the state of Illinois at IDOT, and it was rejected, and then that comes back and you're going to vote on it, so you get a new road, you're going to have to spend another $104 million to build that road. And that's why the engineer said stick with the green route. That's the way to go. That's what we recommend. In my opinion, I think they know what they're doing, and I think you should stick with them because they do know what they're doing. Thank you.
Mr. William Cope.
William Cope, 4018 North Lincoln Avenue. Again, I want to sort of thank you all for being so patient through this, and one of the things that we as a group are very pleased about is that the Olympian Avenue Drive connection through to Route 45 is off the agenda, and that's a big victory over the original plans that Urbana City Council put forward. We also want to thank you for being so accommodating in terms of alternative options. We've had a good discussion, including tonight, with people like Brendan McGinn and Alan Mudo, who've been very patient with us over the time and gone out of their way to try and forge a compromise. And on our part, we've tried to suggest compromises as well. I've given you again today, I'm afraid I didn't bring enough of them, I've got the numbers wrong, but this small one here is a modified version of last week's plan to show you what it is that you're voting on. And also some of the ideas that I was going to mention here I've put on a piece of paper as well that looks a bit like that. The first thing is, if you look at that drawing, C is either the red or the green route. Again, it's the obvious point that it's a very strange, we've been calling it the you know, the big S, but I mean, it's just a very strange dog leg, and I'm just wondering how many people in this area in North Lincoln are going to go all that way to the west before they go east. And we've illustrated that again, and A and B, C is the option that you're looking at, red or green roughly, and A and B are two other options we've suggested in terms of being trying to be conciliatory. But also, I do think there's a fair bit of misinformation which we need to correct. The first thing is the big industrial future there's going to be out here. Today I looked again at land sales, land for sale in the area. And I did this a year ago. A year ago there was 2,000 acres of industrial and commercial zone land for sale in the county. Now there's 2,300 acres. I mean, why conceivably it's not possible to go to Clearview Estate or there's all sorts of places where we can go. 2,300 on the market, which is really quite extraordinary. I also went today again to the census data, all the jobs that are going to come. Well, you know, there were 17,000 industrial jobs in 1990, 14,000 in 2000, 13,000 in 2008. I don't know where this industrial future is going to be. So before we build these roads at taxpayers' expense, we do have to have a very carefully planned set of planning scenarios that we really need these industrial zones. I think anybody in our group is opposed to industrial zones per se, but we as a community are about to spend a lot of money on building a road to open up this industrial zone. Are these long-term employment trends going to be forthcoming? Are there going to be new jobs? The answer seems to be just simply from the census facts, no. And then there's the other point about which kinds of jobs and which kinds of livelihood and which kinds of businesses are valued. These are now productive, valuable farming lands, and here are the people now here behind me who farm these lands who have productive, viable, good businesses. And we don't know that these industrial businesses are going to come along. I'm told that the man from Atkins built the craft factory and said, we could put it here, right beside the green route. Well, I mean, there are a lot of other places, including Clearview Estate, where you can put another craft factory, but have we got the craft factory already knocking at the door? Are they insisted on coming here? What's their name? Who are they? So, you know, this is the bigger picture question about our purposes for building this road. So I've kind of got, if you like, two messages. One is, we've been trying very hard to compromise. We still don't think this thing is necessary. We think the facts are clearly on our side in terms of whether it's necessary or not. We think the current uses as farming are very productive and good uses. We don't see why the hypothetical craft factory that might come in the future should be prioritised over current uses. But nevertheless, we've tried in good faith to come up with a compromise, and we thank you very much for being open to that and for being being part of these dialogues, as we know that it's been a big commitment on your part, so we appreciate that. Thank you very much, folks. Robert Leckie.
I'm Bob Lakey. I live at 1214 East Olympian Road, and I have lived in the area all my life. I'm 66 years old. I've farmed in the area all my life, and we're not taking the number one prime farmland on Lincoln Avenue that everybody seems to be thinking we're taking. And I'm very much in favor of the green route. It's been approved, it's been studied, and why spend $170,000 for an alternative route like the yellow route that might not even be a route that can exist until we spend that money? So I'm not very much, very much against those other routes other than the green route. And we've all heard over and over again about the needs and the wants of the proposed individuals that comprise the group of "We Don't Want Olympian Road." But how about the needs and the visions of the citizens of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding communities? And how about the promises made to the businesses years ago that Olympian Road would be completed? And how many studies do we need? We've heard the city and the county engineers explain in detail what is best. Let's stop and think about how much impact the construction of Olympian Road will have on each person objecting. Will there be any homes taken? No. Will there be any businesses taken? No. After construction of Olympian Road, is any landowners required to sell their property just because the road has been established? No. It's very interesting that we hear about property that will be lost and people that will be infringed upon commercial and industrial neighbors. Where do we escape these realities? What about all of the other residents and the businesses that have contributed to Champaign County in an equal voice that they do want Olympian Road, and what about their infringements? And imagine for a moment this community without Windsor and Curtis Road. Can you imagine it? Thank you.
Mr. Joel Watson.
Good evening. My name's Jerry Watson, and I'd like to touch on three issues here this evening on behalf of Champaign County Farm Bureau. First, I'll start with Olympian Drive. Champaign County Farm Bureau believes that the first step in this project should be the completion of a needs assessment study to determine if the extension of Lincoln Avenue to the existing Olympian Drive to the west is warranted. If this study reveals that this portion of the project is needed, then the next step should be alignment. We feel that the proposed sweeping S is simply not the right choice, and that alignment further west is much more desirable. Secondly, regarding policy 4.1.5 of the Land Resource Management Plan, Farm Bureau can support the compromise language developed by the staff and distributed to you in the February 23rd document. We believe that compromise on this point, as well as our position on 1 per 40 last year, continues our good faith effort with the staff and you, the board, in ensuring that the protection of farmland in the county continues. And finally, in regards to policy 4.1.7 of the Land Resource Management Plan, we urge that the county board support an 80-acre minimum lot area. This, along with other measures, will help to make sure that agriculture plays a prominent role in this county for years to come. We hope that you take into consideration our comments as you consider these issues later this evening, and we support the opportunity to share our views with you. Thank you.
Mr. Mark Thompson.
Some of you don't know me. There's some new board members here. And I guess I could just start off in saying, in my opinion, there's probably four groups of people in this room right now. There's the ignorant people. Those would be the new board members who don't really know what's going on when it comes to land resource management plan. You only know what your peers have told you. Then I would say there are socialists. And we all know socialists are nothing but the beginning steps to communism. We do know that, don't we? Well, I'm surprised some of you aren't wearing your t-shirt that says, think globally and act locally. Because I'm sure some of you have it. Then there's what we call useful idiots. Those are the ones who are going to vote based on what their peers tell them, never minding the facts. Now, I asked some of you last time, I asked all of you that were here to research United Nations Agenda 21. And I wonder how many of you have. But I've taken liberty to print off some very good documentation, which you now have in your possession. Each of you have it in your possession, and it's a very good starting point to get an education on United Nations Agenda 21. The city of Champaign and the city of Urbana have both signed on to United Nations Agenda 21, and the question is, has this county board signed on to it? That I'm not aware of. 600 cities in the United States have signed on to an organization known as, in fact, you have this copy, I've given you notice, and this is to be entered into the public record. and it's basically stating that you will be guilty of treason if you pass this land resource management plan, because it is the exact dictates of United Nations Agenda 21. And I believe when you take office, you swear an oath to this country. The ICLE, International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, like I said, Urbana and Champaign have signed on to this. And in that are the dictates within the charter that is explicitly accepted. In fact, it's mandated that you adopt the Earth Charter principles. The Earth Charter violates American principles, including sovereignty, protection of unalienable rights. The Declaration of Commitment that Champaign and Urbana have signed on to states or reflects the key content of their strategic plan. We commit to address social injustice. At the United Nations Conference on Human Settlements, Habitat 1, social justice was defined. Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. Public control of land is therefore indispensable. This contradicts the principle of private property rights. I know a lot of you say, well, the Farm Bureau is behind this. Well, if you read the Farm Bureau, if you understand the Farm Bureau, it's made up of farmers, not landowners. Sure, there are farmers who own land, but you'd be surprised at how many do not own land. They just farm it. So this 1 per 40, that just ties the land up for farmers. But it is an absolute attack on the property rights of the landowner. It's egregious. Highly restrictive is a joke to even use that word. Philosophy of the Farm Bureau. We believe in the sanctity of private property and individual rights as provided by the U.S. Constitution as the basis of American freedom and progress. And there's no way you can support this, Jerry. It's absolutely pathetic. The Big Small All Initiative that put this together was an absolute joke. It was voted down by hundreds and hundreds of people through the CZR, I believe it's called. After 9 months or so, you start with 600 people yelling no, then 300, then 200, then 100, and they wear you down. The people do not want this, and you Republicans out there, you better not vote for this. That is the definition of a rhino, and I am telling you, this is just absolutely un-American, and take that note seriously that I wrote that you're smiling about, Tom, because I'm very serious about this, and we'll pursue this as far as I can. And there's a lot of people who understand what I'm talking about and support me in this, and this will come to a head. And I warned you guys in the beginning, this was an attack on property rights. You spent thousands and thousands of man hours on this LRMP, and there's so much hidden inside the legalese language of all these different little pieces. It's kind of like when Bill Clinton said, is, what does is mean? And when you can interpret language,
Thompson, if I may interrupt.
Thank you very much. I wouldn't trust it.
Was law oppressing?
Good evening. I'm Laurel Pressing, 2106 Grange Drive, Urbana, Illinois, and I'm here as the mayor of Urbana to strongly support the Green Line. Thank you for your careful consideration of the Olympian Drive, Lincoln Avenue improvements. We especially thank the county board members that took the time to come and meet with us. We really appreciate it. 1 year ago, Urbana agreed to reopen the public engagement process in response to concerns from some residents and some county board members. This lengthy public process cost over $100,000 and yielded a compromise which Urbana agreed to. Postpone completion of Olympian Olympian from Lincoln Avenue to U.S. 45, and build Olympian and Lincoln Avenue first. Opponents at first publicly encouraged and welcomed our reopening public engagement. Then they yanked away the football and refused to participate. Now they want another study costing $170,000, which would take 18 months. Bottom line, what do Champaign County taxpayers owe homeowners who chose to locate near the legally adopted alignment for Lincoln Avenue? We don't owe them another study. We do owe them fair treatment. For example, Mary Rose Atkinson writes in today's News Gazette that she does not want a road 50 feet from her beautiful home. I want to reassure her that the current green alignment is 200 feet from her home, but Urbana is willing to do its best to move the road another 50 feet west so the distance would be up to 250 feet, and that would be with the existing green line. Urbana is not willing, however, to accept any more delaying tactics, waste money duplicating studies that have already been done, or violate agreements with other landowners. What does the county board owe all the people who have built businesses based on your officially adopted Lincoln Avenue alignment? Businesses decided to invest millions of dollars because they trusted in your approved and carefully studied road alignments. How will you compensate all the employees if that investment dries up? The biggest issue this country faces is unemployment. Will you allow the preferences of a few to outweigh the needs of everyone else? Urbana will honor its commitments. We will honor our commitment to Shirley Squire. During the initial public engagement, the Lincoln Avenue alignment was moved to avoid her house. The entire Olympian Drive project was carefully designed to avoid destroying homes. Urbana will honor its commitments to the county. We were both founded in 1833, and we understand the need to work together and help each other. Urbana requests that the county board honor its commitments. We ask that you respect our comprehensive plan adopted after four and a half years of input from thousands of people, both in the city and in a mile and a half outside the city limits. We ask that you respect and support your excellent transportation planning process, the Champaign-Urbana Urban Area Transportation Study, QOTS. Instead of competing against each other for road projects, that we have jointly set priorities so each community receives its fair share of funding. This is how taxpayers want government to work. The City of Urbana requests that you affirm your support for the already adopted Green Line alignment. Funding is available now. $2 million in local funds can generate a $20 million investment in much-needed roads and bridges and maintain existing jobs and create new jobs. More delays threaten the availability of these funds. The truth is that urban and rural people need each other. Those leading the fight against Urbana moved here because of the job opportunities and amenities that this city offers. If they had wanted to live near a town or village with no growth potential, they could have done so. But then they would not have access to the University of Illinois, excellent hospitals and clinics, libraries, arts, entertainment, and fine local restaurants and shops. Prairie Fruits Farm would not enjoy the customer base that enables them to prosper. Thank you for listening, and I hope I'll be able to thank you for moving ahead with the Green Line. And more details are available in the complete letter, but I only have 5 minutes. Thank you very much.
Is there any further public participation? Seeing none, we'll close that. Move on to communications. I just want to point out that I forgot to mention earlier, Mr. Benzo informed me that he would not be able to make a fee because he had a business engagement he could not miss. Other communications from the board. Ms. Petrie.
Yes. A constituent of Mr. Mosier's, since he's not in town, contacted me and asked me to read into the record, with his permission, several of his comments concerning the Olympian Drive. It's Mr. George Boyd. I believe he's appeared before the county board.
This is not the time to do that. You should do that during the discussion of Olympia Drive.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll do it then.
Any other communications?
Okay.
Moving on to, we have one item from ELOC, and then we'll go on to Highway and Transportation. Mr. Kurtz.
Evening. Environment and Land Use, 9A, Preliminary Recommendation, County Board for Zoning Ordinance Amendment. We request to amend Champaign County Zoning Ordinance, Zoning Case 675-AT-10, Petitioner Champaign County Zoning Administrator. Mr. Schroeder, move. Second by Ms. Anderson. Discussion. Seeing none. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Ms. Kirk, Highway Transportation.
Good evening. The Highway and Transportation will begin with the monthly report for the town, for the county and township motor fuel tax claims February 2011.
I move they be received and placed on file.
Second.
Open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're going to go into the county engineer's report.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is B1, resolution appropriating county bridge funds and authorizing the county board chair to sign a joint agreement for sections 09-00956-00BR. This is a project that we applied for major bridge program funds. This is the bridge just north of Rantoul on Maplewood Drive in very poor condition. As a matter of fact, it's posted at this time. You have a joint agreement on this project whereby the federal government through the major bridge project would have $1,020,000 in the project, and we would be appropriating $255,000 from the county bridge funds, and I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Okay, it's open for discussion. Okay, Stan James.
Mr. Blue, does Rantoul own Maplewood Drive going out so far that way? Where does their property line stop? Because I thought when that road was resurfaced a few years back, that they accepted responsibility for it.
That was before my time, but there was a movement afoot to get them to accept it. And then when they found out the condition of the bridges at the time, the county maintained jurisdiction over the roadway. So the county still owns the whole thing.
So does that, will I be able to fish out there this summer?
Won't be much traffic.
Patty?
If $255,000 is taken out of the bridge fund, what will remain in that fund? What's the balance?
This project was budgeted for in 2011, and we have basically $1 million in the bridge fund for bridge construction this year.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item 2, resolution authorizing the county board chair to sign a joint agreement for section 10-00429-00RS. Not sure why I don't see the joint agreement in the packet that you guys received, but this is the same project that we've been working on from Thomasboro going up through Gifford. Basically, this joint agreement, it's a $4 million project. It's $3.1 million in federal dollars, $900,000 in TARP money, which is truck access route program money. So it's as long as the costs stay within those guidelines, it's a zero-cost project from county highway funds. And that's basically, it's a similar joint agreement to the one you see on the bridge. It just shows LA is zero, FHWA at 3.1, and state at 900,000.
Move to approve.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Have a petition for a small culvert project, estimated at $7,600 in Raymond Township. This is just north of Broadlands on Township Road. We'll be replacing a 48-inch equivalent pipe along the Little Vermilion Ditch, and this is just a procedure we have to go through in order to use county bridge funds, so it'll be a 50-50 project between the township and the county.
Move to approve.
Second.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay, the next item on the agenda is resolution of support for Project A, Olympian Drive from Apollo Drive to Lincoln Avenue. I assume that everybody...
I'll point out that the hard copy was not distributed before the meeting. Deb Buse is handing it out right now, so okay. Perhaps you could wait until you hand it out.
All right.
And give a chance to read it. It is a short resolution, so it won't take very long.
Yes. Okay.
He's also handing out the resolution for number 5. Now, I apologize that that was not at the desk at the beginning of the meeting.
I move adoption of the resolution.
It's open for discussion. Seeing no discussion, all in open bias.
Jeff, could you perhaps explain the resolution, what it says, but what it does not say? I hear some people that don't quite understand it. No, this is different from the agreement, and Jeff actually mentioned this at the last call. So, and Mr. Betts referred to it. I asked Jeff to bring those resolutions to the board. So, Jeff, could you just explain item 4, please, for us?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, in order to move ahead with any of these projects, whether it be Olympian Drive or the realignment of Lincoln Avenue, which is next, we felt that coming out of the Olympian Drive, Lincoln Avenue Special Committee, that it would be appropriate that the county board go on record as supporting the projects in which we're trying to move forward with. This is just basically the Project A, which starts at Apollo Drive and goes over to Lincoln Avenue, that piece of Olympian Drive, which currently is 100% funded with resources outside of the county coffers, and Hanson Engineering, as you know, has been working on the development of that project for some time now, and we're just looking to get a resolution of support from the county board.
Okay, Brandon.
I'd just like to request roll call on all of these issues related to Olympian or Lincoln, please.
I join him.
Boyd.
The time for a question. I'd like to have a question.
What is the time now?
Now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say, when Olympia Drive first started, I see we have a lot of new stuff that is on this map that wasn't in the package at that time. And my, really, what I'm really peed about, when they put it back on the agenda, all this new stuff came up. I've been on the Highway Committee and Transportation for years, and nobody bothered to call the committee back to sit down and discuss this. Now, this is really sad. All this stuff that's on here now. When I was a kid, B and C went to the left. One went straight across there. When I was a kid, the red caboose used to sit. We used to hunt out there. And it would rest straight up, not across the railroad, but rest straight north to Liberate Road. Now, all of this come in, you want somebody to vote on something, and you didn't even call the committee back to discuss it so we could have a fair assessment of what's going on. It's just kind of ridiculous. You have a highway committee that should be taking care of these problems, and you ignore them. You go off and you have these little meetings, and then you bring all of this up here and throw it on the desk and say, hey, we got to vote on this now. Now, to me, that's getting away from your democratic process to me. And I'm ashamed that I can't explain to my constituents what's going on because nobody bothers to have the meetings that they should have.
This resolution is approving the alignment from the 1997 design study that has been out there, and I don't believe the alignment of Olympian Drive has ever changed since the 1997 design study. It's just been a matter of at what point the project would be staged in, and this is the stage from Apollo going over to Lincoln, as Apollo or as Olympian Drive has always been shown on every map.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, I was there when we concluded. We went for as we could go with the money. Mm-hmm. Didn't nobody have any money. Nobody told everybody that this was dead. It was stopped because of finance. And the word was, when we get the finance, we come back and complete the project. Now, you have all these new entities in it, and nobody bothered to come back and tell anybody about what's going on. Hey, wasn't even in existence. He wasn't in that first package. And you have all these others added that cost money. I'm just saying, you know, we need to be, if we're going to do our taxpayers fair, we need to be more honest with each other.
Okay, Lord, the aid that's showing up on this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the extension that's going straight across.
Yeah, don't let this A confuse you with wherever this document came from, because there's an A on here too, and that's not even close to what we're voting on.
Wait a minute. Aren't you consider A, B, and C?
No. Not on this document. This is not for the resolutions that are being proposed tonight.
Well, if we had had a conversation, see, I would know that.
Right. This document came from, not from the county highway department.
Michaels.
I have a question. I do have my ABCX map here, by the way. So basically, with this resolution, we're saying that we agree to take the road Apollo over to Lincoln, but it doesn't say how we take Lincoln to Olympia. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
But it doesn't say that we have to take it all the way over to Lincoln A. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, Patty?
Yes, another point of clarification, please. Even though this map, this one, was not produced by the county, there is several alternative routes on this map. So my question as to the wording of this resolution where it says Phase 1 design study for Olympian Drive was completed in 1997. Does that preclude then, if this resolution gets passed, preclude any of these other alternatives that curve where it doesn't go straight across on Olympian Drive?
Yes, I believe it does. We're talking about the approved alignment of Olympian Drive from the 1997 design study.
Thank you very much.
Bias. Okay. Okay, any more discussion? Okay, we're going to have a roll call.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons? Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Berkson?
Yes.
Betts?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Cowart?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Jones?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes.
Michaels?
No.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Sapp?
No.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
Okay, item number 5 is a resolution of support for the extension of Lincoln Avenue to Olympian Drive. I believe that's on the back side of the resolution that you just voted on.
It's open for discussion. Okay, Ammons.
So as Ms. Petrie said, that basically all of this that we have in these parts were part of the original design 1997.
Right.
And to accept this resolution is to accept the original design.
You just accepted the 1997 alignment of Olympian Drive. All this resolution says is that Lincoln Avenue from its current terminus up to Olympian Drive needs to be realigned. So the current structure and geometry of the roadway is deficient, and we need to find a way to extend Lincoln Avenue up to Olympian Drive. It doesn't lock in any kind of design or any kind of alignment. It just says it needs to be realigned so that we can move forward and see where we're going to go with that realignment.
Any more discussion? All in favor, say roll call. Okay.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Cowart.
Yes.
Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
No.
Jay.
No.
Jones.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
No.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Okay. The resolution passes.
The addendum? Yeah, do we want to move on to that bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... All right, now we're going to...
Okay, and then there's an item 6 on the addendum. Resolution of support for the green alignment, Lincoln Avenue connection to Olympian Drive.
I so move.
Open for discussion. Al?
Ready for discussion?
Yes.
Thank you. I want to be very careful about what I have to say right now, because this has been a bone of contention for not months, but actually for years. I believe in business. Obviously, I've been a businessman for 50 years. I believe in economic development. I believe in jobs and the future of our county. When I talked with major developers concerning this entire project and what developers had planned for Urbana on the west side of Lincoln Avenue, I was told by them, the major developers, that there were no plans to purchase land nor to develop anything that they had in the foreseeable future, which could mean decades. We've been told that a new alignment would cost us a lot of money, perhaps $150,000, $160,000. Well, Urbana spent $140,000 on a sales job from a St. Louis company. Could have used that money for a really good study. We've been talking about Olympia Drive and Lincoln Avenue for years, ad nauseum. We have discussed the routes, the money, the studies, the development in the future. We have had subcommittees, lobbying groups, repetitive emails coming from organizations in the guise of residents' concerns. But we have not been discussing the people, the residents of the affected area. It's time to talk about them. I have met with them in their homes, seen their property, and the life they have built. Were they told that a four-lane road might someday carry 80,000-pound trucks through their backyard or front lawn? Some knew, but most were told the project was dead. Some were not told at all, unethically, I might add. In fact, the city of Urbana has a plan years ago to build this extension and pulled out at the last minute. I was told that Lincoln Avenue was not even considered in this plan across to Route 45 until the money dried up for the extension to Route 45 by the federal government. What if you built a home and wanted to raise children and grandchildren, and then, wait a minute, the government said, well, we're going to build this now, too bad for you. No, it's time to consider an alternative, a new route that will not impact all of these upstanding, hardworking, tax-paying citizens, our friends, our neighbors. It's time for government and developers to have a conscience. There is no guarantee that another route will work, but I feel we need a choice. It's time for government to work for the people. So I will vote no on the green line.
I would like to suspend the rules. The attorney for Shirley Squires, this might sound strange coming from me, but the attorney for the Shirley Squires is here and did not know the procedural protocol for public participation. And I'd like to suspend the rules to allow him to speak.
Second. Y'all in favor?
Aye.
Madam Chair, point of order, is that subject to the five-minute rule?
Mr. Betts, I'll be much shorter than that. Members of the County Board, thank you for the accommodation. My name is Pat Fitzgerald, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Meyer Capel here in Champaign, Illinois. And I appear before you this evening on behalf of Mrs. Shirley Squire and Ms. Christine Pearson. Mrs. Squire and Ms. Pearson speak for two-thirds of the ownership of Squire Farms. Under all three development proposals currently before you, the yellow line, the red line, and the green line, Squire Farms bears the heaviest burden of any of the property owners in the area. Under the yellow line, approximately 14.4 acres of the family's property will be taken. Under the red line, approximately 7.9 acres of the family's property will be taken. Under the green line, approximately 5.2 acres of the family's property will be taken. Mrs. Squire and Ms. Pearson recognize that there is a need for an extension of North Lincoln Avenue to Olympian Drive, but respectfully request that you join with the City of Urbana, the Economic Development Corporation, and the News Gazette in supporting the Green Line. Thank you.
Okay,
Okay, Tyus. This address to Mr. Blue. The mayor of Urbana suggested that the green light could be adjusted to be further away from some of the homesteads out there. Can you comment about the possibility of that, or how far one could move it from the current alignment? Or would it take additional study to do that?
I recall you talked about amending the phase one study. In talking with IDOT, basically the red line that you see on your map was the engineer's alignment that came out of the phase one study. And through public participation, that line was shifted somewhat to become what is now the green line. So the area between the red line and the green line has been studied significantly in the phase one study from the past. And as a matter of fact, you know, the green line wasn't even the choice that came out of the initial phase one study when you read through the study. So in order to do any shift of the green line, there would have to be an amendment to the phase one study, which would look at the biological, the cultural, you know, all the ecological stuff, endangered species, all that kind of stuff that would come up. So there would have to be an amendment. It's obviously a shorter piece of work than going through a full relook at a phase one, where if you're going to go somewhere to the west of the Squire Farmstead, but I don't believe you can really shift anything too far without getting into some kind of amendment. There's a lot of, you got the saline ditch in there, you're going to be interfering with that, you may need to do something with that. So any shift of it's going to require some amendment to the phase one study.
And a phase one amendment would cost, presumably, take some time and some money.
It would take some time and some money, and depending on how much the effort was, it could be anywhere from $75,000 to $120,000.
Okay, Brandon, and then extra.
I piggyback on what Pius said. I'll save personal comments for later, but in an effort to try to get everyone on the same page with regard to what our options are, Jeff, and we talked about, I want you to tell me whether I'm remembering this right. So at one of the most recent COWs, the Committee of the Whole meetings, you talked about, because we're talking about green, red, yellow, and yellow is not anything that is in any formal sense right now. You brought this as your iteration of what might be, as directed by our special committee, Olympian Drive Special Committee from the county, to come back to us with an alternate option. Is that correct? Just making sure that this is not something that green and red have been studied.
Right.
Red, green, the existing alignment is set. Red would require, if we considered red, it would require, I'd heard numbers like 8 to 12 months, $100,000-ish, compared to going with a brand new location study, which would be more in line of 18 months, $150,000, $170,000. Is that all,
yes.
All right?
Yes.
Okay, so just to make sure that we're all talking about what these options are and what they really mean, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page as we go forward with what you've told us to date.
Yeah, I mean, your real options are green because it's preferred alternative and it's been studied, so that's a phase one study that's completed that could move ahead.
And one other thing, if I could, I've heard things about moving the lines,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard that you're moving them so far. I'm no expert on this, obviously. Moving them significantly constitutes a new location study. Moving them slightly, I've heard 50 feet. Could you elaborate on what all those ranges are? Maybe that would help us to figure out what our options are. Maybe there too.
Right. My best estimation from some of the conversations I've had with IDOT and the consultant is any adjustment of the preferred alternative that is between the red line and the green line would take some form of amendment to the Phase 1 study. Anything beyond that would take a new Phase 1 study. So I'm sure 5 feet or something would be, you know, but if you're going to try to avoid impacts, 5 feet's probably not going to cut it anyway, you know. If you're going to try to avoid impacts and move it off of somebody's property or try to move it so that it avoids the drainage ditch and you get into environmental issues and recultural studies, you're going to have to do an amendment to the Phase 1 study. It's just a matter of how much time and effort and money that amendment's going to cost.
Okay, before I ask you, I want to ask you a question. How many other lines did you all study before we came up with green line?
There were 10 that were whittled down to 3, and ultimately the preferred alternative came out of that design study. So they started with 10.
Okay, Esther.
I thought you said I
think you.
The green, if the red line was the original engineer's choice, why would it cost so much to go back to it?
Because there are 9 different things that you have to do in a Phase 1 study, and about the 5th one through, they said red is the best engineering-wise, and then they went to public involvement, public participation. It got moved to the green line, and then they proceeded with the rest of the study on the green line. So you got to do the part that they never did.
Okay, Darian?
Mayor Pressing would like to make a comment about the amendment that we talked that she talked about, and Jeff was a little unsure. Could we suspend the rules so that she could make a comment about that? Yes, there's a motion to suspend.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Laura?
I just wanted to say that I talked with Urbana City Engineer Bill Gray this morning and asked him if 50 feet would be reasonable, and he said it's something that we could say, and that's what I told you, that we could make our best effort, because they've done a lot of studies on this, but you never know when you actually start doing it. So, you know, you say 5 feet, maybe it could be 50 feet, we don't know, but we would make our best effort, because we don't think you need a completely new study, and we're trying to address the question that was brought up by the letter to the editor this morning. So that's what we.
Okay, wait a minute, Laura.
I have a question.
Okay.
Now you say it could be 5 feet, it could be 50 feet, could it be less? Could it be closer to their property, to their home?
No, we don't want to make it closer to their home.
That's
because
my question is, could it be?
No, I don't think we're saying we want to move it to closer. Our objective is to get it as far away as possible.
I understand that, but now you're saying 5 feet to 50 feet, and so
I said I don't really know that he would need to study it, but we could. I asked him what I could say. Could I say that we could put our best effort in to get up to 50 feet? And he said that would be a reasonable statement. And he's unable to be here tonight, but that's what he told me this morning.
I thought I saw him. He's here, isn't he?
Well, he's here.
There he is, right there.
Well, Mr. Gray, you're here. I didn't see him, sorry. But anyway, if you'd like to ask him some questions, I'm sure you could do that too.
I'd like to continue on and ask a question of Jeff. Could it be closer than 200 feet? If it's stated now that she says that it'll be as much as 200 feet away, could it be 150 feet away? Could it be 100 feet away? Are we discussing the amounts of space now? That is it going to be closer than what it's already originally planned to be? Could it be closer?
Not if the green alignment's approved. The green alignment is the green alignment.
And how far, do you know how far it is from that property to that actual?
I do not know.
You don't know?
I do not know.
Okay.
Bill, do you have a real number on that? From the Barron's house to the green alignment? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Ralph.
How precisely does this line here show exactly where that road will go? In other words, we haven't driven any stakes yet.
No.
So, how much leeway do we have left and right of the midline of this thing on this air photo?
Well, you design it with a micrometer, you build it with a bulldozer, right? I mean, that's the old saying. I mean, you got an overhead view of something with a line on it.
I mean, the 50 feet might well be within your leeway or no?
IDOT's here, and they're the ones that would make that decision. Yeah, that's why they came.
Okay. Now, one other point I'd like to make. We have a number of signatories to this group that's campaigning against this. But taking a look at these houses, H6 is already right on Lincoln Avenue. I would suggest that if we build the Green Line route, H6 will be no closer to that road than all the houses along Windsor Road in Urbana.
Point of information, I'd like to point out that Ralph is using a drawing that was not drawn by an engineer. It is not very accurate.
It's an error photo.
It's an error photo, but the lines are not drawn by IDOT.
This thing right here. It's the same one. This is a bigger copy of that.
But that's not the
approved. That did not come from my office or the city of Urbana or anybody.
City of Urbana didn't put this out. This came from the anti group.
Exactly, right. That was the point he was trying to make.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that you take a look at H6, it's not going to be smack dab up against that road. H7 ticks one corner. The house in H8's a long way off. His property does overlap it. H9 is a good city block away from the line of that road. H10 is adjacent to it. The goat farm isn't even in the Ziegler homestead is well removed from it. Now, I realize that they farm the L2 farm. But the point I'm making is this road isn't demolishing very much, and it's very few people that are closely affected by it. And I would suggest that the greatest good for the greatest number might come into play here.
Okay, James.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I intend to support the green alignment because I believe a lot of work has gone into determining it, and it came out of public input in the first pass. I don't think there's a point, either pro or con, to look at the map that was provided us tonight to justify or not justify what we're doing, because the lines don't correspond to what's been drawn in any case. I intend to support this. I've received a lot of feedback from my constituents in District 9 encouraging me to support the green alignment. I think the most important thing is that we go forward with this project. So as others have stated tonight, if the green alignment does not succeed, I will continue to support going forward with an alternative.
Christopher.
I guess I'll follow on to Mr. Quisenberry's comments. I am also going to support the green alignment. Gives maximum flexibility in terms of the ability to develop the land along Olympian Drive. It minimizes the amount of new land that's required, which I think is always a goal in a road project, because the northern third of it can reuse the existing right-of-way of the existing North Lincoln Avenue. One issue that's been raised on a number of occasions is that the current alignment results in, or the proposed alignment results in, the minimum requirement to maintain duplicate roadways. This is something of a unique road project. you know, most of the time the location of an expanded road isn't an issue because the road is expanded along the existing alignment. I mean, you don't need a location study to expand a Curtis Road or Windsor Road or Duncan Road or Staley Road. And in those projects, you know, there were existing homes along these roads, which sort of all by definition get closer to the road as the road gets wider. And I think that's just something that we accept as a part of development and road expansion. In this case, obviously, it's a little more complicated because we can't expand the existing road. It has right angle bends in it, and I think the green alignment represents about as close as you could get to an expansion of the existing road without, you know, having to deal with those right ankle bends and so forth. But it does eliminate the need to maintain these duplicate roads, and I think it provides better connectivity in the area. Finally, I think the terminus of this road, there's been a lot of discussion about whether this road should end at the existing end along the line of the existing Lincoln Avenue or whether it should be farther to the west. I think, obviously, it's a legitimate point to say, well, we're only extending Olympian Drive over into Champaign, therefore, you know, the road should be as far west as it can be because it's just going to, that's the only direction it's going to go. But I think we have to recognize that that's not always going to be the case. I mean, I think eventually there will be a need to connect to north, what we could call north-north Lincoln, I guess, extending north of Olympian. And I think eventually Olympian Drive will be extended east to Route 45, although I think that's probably substantially in the out of the future. So I don't think we should look at this as, I think it's short-sighted to look at this and say, where can we put this that meets the minimum objectives of connecting to Olympian Drive, and I think we need to look a little more long-term. So I guess those are the arguments in favor of the green. You know, what are the arguments against it? Well, there really seems to be one, and that's the impact on landowners. I was involved in the, when I was on the Urbana Plan Commission, and I was involved in the development of the 2005 comprehensive plan, and we looked at this alignment extensively at that point. And I was on the Urbana City Council, which ended up approving that comprehensive plan in 2005. And so, you know, it's pretty familiar with this line and how we got to this position. And it's very frustrating and disheartening for me as somebody who supports long-term planning to see that we're now in a situation where even though this plan was on the books, there was still development that took place in that area that was not informed by the plan, and that's why we're ending up in the situation now where we have landowners who, I think, you know, these homeowners who would be closest to the new road, I think have a very legitimate beef in saying, hey, we didn't know about this, and this is a very unwelcome surprise. But I'm not sure how to, you know, reconcile that other than to do the best we can moving forward to make sure that landowners in areas that will be affected by future road projects are aware of those projects. But I don't think that's an argument. That's a compelling argument to say, okay, we're gonna abandon this thing that has been on the books for a long time and that other people have filed preliminary plats based on and have made land purchase and development decisions in that area based on. I guess one final comment I would make is that I think the if indeed the county board decides that as a result of impact on some of the more recently constructed homes in this area, the green alignment's not acceptable to a majority of the board, I would definitely still like to see this project move forward. I would like to see it move forward along an alignment similar to the green alignment, but mitigating the impact on these homes, which I guess would be something between what we're calling the red alignment and the green alignment. And I am very reluctant to support the yellow alignment for the simple reason that it requires taking significantly more land. It requires taking land from one, primarily from one landowner, and I think that as a, in the spirit of compromise, we've heard a lot about compromise, but saying let's compromise by taking all the land from the other guy doesn't strike me as a compromise. So I think we need to remain as close as we have to the intent of the original project. And if we do not vote down the green alignment, I would be much more supportive of something along the lines of the red alignment than to something much farther west like the yellow alignment. And I'll be quiet now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to concur in what Mr. Alex and Quisenberry said. I think they put it beautifully. Their logic is almost impeccable. And it's hard for me to disagree with Mr. Kurtz because I know he's coming from a passionate point of view. He cares deeply about the landowners, as do I. I think if I were owning property anywhere and government was going to come and potentially affect my property, I would be upset, I would be angry, and I'd fight back. So I don't condemn any of the property owners for fighting back. That's, we're Americans, that's what we do. It's our property, we're going to defend our property. And I understand that. I live six houses from the University of Illinois. The University of Illinois could potentially take my property at some point. We are all potentially, as property owners, subject to eminent domain, which is provided for in the Constitution of Illinois and the United States Constitution. Hopefully, the properties in this case can be negotiated in eminent domain. Won't have to happen, but I think it may happen. But I do respect totally where folks are coming from. I think they have a right to fight. I think people have lived on some of this property for generations. It is not just about alignments. It is about the love of the soil, the love of the land. I respect that. It's something people feel deeply about, and I honor their coming before the board, their lobbying. I think that's necessary. I think it's good. I think it has informed the board a great deal. I also know that I've been on this board for a number of years, and this has been talked about for decades. I'm not surprised that it's back here. I'm happy that at least this time around, I don't think anyone's going to pull the money away like it happened the last time. I hope that doesn't happen. I've been told that the money is pretty well settled at this point. It is odd for me, as a liberal Democrat, to align myself with the Chamber of Commerce, which I never do. They always campaign against me and all liberal Democrats. I'm never an ally of the News Gazette editorial board. They always endorse someone else. And the Economic Development Commission, I've always voted not to fund them. So it's strange bedfellows, but that's the nature of politics. I think that they have made many valid arguments on this. Is economic development guaranteed as a result of Olympia Drive being extended? No. No one can give you a guarantee that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. I think there is some... We are creating an artery and a method by which development can take place. And I think it is more likely to happen as a result of this than if we do nothing. Right now, Olympia Drive kind of is a bridge to a road to nowhere. The county needs some economic development. It's not just about the city of Urbana. The county needs revenue. We have had to make a lot of cuts in the past few years. I don't see the county in a situation where we're going to ever be able to raise property taxes to cover our expenses. So one of the things that's going to increase our tax base, quite frankly, is development of real property and sales taxes and income taxes. From the workers that work on this project, they all are going to pay taxes into state, federal, county, and local. Sales taxes we've become very dependent on. Folks are going to pay sales taxes that are working on these projects, and the things that develop are potentially going to have positive revenue streams for the county, so that we are not in a situation where things remain stagnant. Guarantees? No one can guarantee it. No one could guarantee that Windsor Road was going to bring prosperity and more business. It happened over a long period of time. So I think that there's a possibility that it happens. Purely on a transportation basis, I'm listening to our engineers. They think this is necessary. They think the green alignment is the proper alignment. I, for one, do not know how to align a road. I was not hired as a county board member for $45 a meeting to figure out how to align a road. I'm not an engineer. I think there's probably only one person on this board that's ever actually drawn a road and built a road, and that's Mr. Langenheim. And Mr. Langenheim supports the green route, and I listen to him because he's actually built roads. I think when we hire experts, in the case of the city of Urbana, Mr. Gray and Mr. Blue, I think we ought to listen to them, and if we're going to reject what they say, we ought to be very sure why we're doing it and that we have a sound alternative that is not going to cost us more money. This thing has been studied an awful lot. And will one more study kill us? Probably not, but I'll tell you, at some point, the budget starts getting completely out of control. Who will pay for the study? Will it come out of the city of Urbana? Will it come out of Kuwait? Will it come out of county money if we reject this for another study? I don't know where that money is going to come from. I did not hear the city of Urbana volunteering to come up with it. I didn't hear Mr. Blue saying we've got the extra money sitting there, and I've never heard Kuwait say they've got the extra money. I support the green route. I think it's the most practical solution at this point, and I would urge a yes vote.
Okay, Al, Lynn Carroll, Lynn Sand, and then Pat.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I probably haven't seen Ralph's road that he built, but I bet it only turns left.
You know, I don't want to repeat Mr. Kurtz's eloquent words about property protection. I think it's important, though, to admit publicly that we're complicit in this. This board, the planners, when this was drawn back in 97, we could have said, no more building along this road. We could have not permitted these homes. We could have not collected their property taxes. But we did. And 97 is a long time ago. The study does not include those individuals now that are involved in this process. I go back to Mr. Alex's term, and that's compromise. And I think compromise is probably the best thing that we can do for Mrs. Squire, for the landowners on the other side of Green, for Urbana, and for growth. I'm not sure if modified red is going to work or yellow, but I do know it's worth the time and money to do it. It's interesting. A number of us met with an IDOT engineer on Friday. The IDOT engineer said that when this next phase comes up, that during the public phase of testimony, that it will weigh heavily if Green is defeated by this board, that they would not go back to Green as the preferred route, because they do take, contrary to what somebody in public participation said, they do take into consideration somebody who's not an engineer saying there's not the best road there to do it. But my point that I'm making is, you know, it's compromise, and we have to come up with a way to make this happen. I don't want two dead ends. I don't want one dead end. I want growth, and I want protection. And I think for the landowners, and I think what we're talking about here is that we need to involve them in this process beyond the public phase one that they are going to participate in. We need to get them involved in a committee so that we create buffering for them, so that their visual needs are taken care of, that the point that Janet Charlo made about North Lincoln is taken into consideration. It's something that we can do if we put our mind to it. I'm all for Urbana's growth. I'm all for Urbana having commercial industrial in this area, because that's what it's going to be. It's in the mile and a half, and I think it's a fait accompli. But we need to take care of the residents in there and do it right. And I think, instead of saying that there's only one way, green, red, yellow, a new phase will help us get compromise. You're not going to get 100%, but we're, you know what I'm happy about hearing is that everybody's against this. So we're at a stage now where compromise is necessary. You know, Mrs. Squire says she doesn't want red or yellow. She only wants green. The opponents say we only want yellow. If we have to compromise, guys. And Urbana and the county can do that. Thank you.
Carol Ammons.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Blue, and I think this is where we started this process when we first started working on this since I joined the board, was once we put the road in, where is this light industrial going to go? What land will be necessary, and where is it going to go?
the City of Urbana's planning documents, I believe, show industrial all the way from Lincoln Avenue going westerly over to the railroad tracks, all that area in there.
I'm looking at the wrong map. We got so many maps over here.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out the map. So you said it would go westerly.
Yeah, from the railroad tracks to Lincoln Avenue, basically, that entire area in there.
So that would, so that would really take out, which is what my initial, the reason why I was not in support of this in the first place, because it's not about just the road. It is going to ultimately mean that you will need this land further for this light industrial. Otherwise, why wouldn't we put a more westerly road?
Right. I mean, it's only if the family wishes to sell it. I mean, there's nobody forcing them to make it light industrial. If they want to keep it a farm for the next however many years, they have that right. We do need the transportation system to get Olympian Drive to Lincoln Avenue so people can get around there in the current industry that we have.
Ultimately, after we put the road in, doesn't mean that the same families would even.
It's property owner rights.
There's absolutely nothing guaranteeing that.
Okay, Stan and then Patty.
Well, I hope Tom doesn't add me to his list, but I look at things relatively simply. You know, life came about. People have formed our land. I truly believe that the farmers and the people that protect us are the people that we should be listening to. I always hear we got to have the tax base, we got to have this, we got to have that. That's what's wrong with government. We want too much and we do too little. The people run us, but it seems like we think we run the people. We need to really stop and think about this. We've been talking about it for quite a while. No one's ever proved to me that we need that road. I hear all the studies, I hear all the grand things, and then I hear the census numbers. It just befuddles me. It's like we get stuck on an issue and think we got to do something, we got to spend that money one way or the other, and let's move on it. But it languished for how many years? I never even heard about it when it first came on the board. Now all of a sudden it's a hot issue. Sooner or later, when we start taking up all the land and we've got all these big, beautiful buildings like Whitehall and Rantoul occupying the land that do nothing, who's going to feed us? Who's going to be there to take care of us when we really need it? In the scheme of things, it's not a lot of land we're going to take here. But I just can't support it. Plus, look at all the trouble everybody's in. Every day, you turn on the news, you pick up the paper. Government wants to spend money, but it's not there. And we say, well, we'll raise revenue, we'll raise taxes. Well, I, for one, I don't care if you call it a fee or a license or what the heck you call it. I'm getting sick of paying it. And I think we ought to be looking at that, not fighting over how much more money we can spend. We got 100 roads out here, and I don't know if Ralph helped with Route 45, but my God, I wouldn't ride a stagecoach over that thing. And then we talk about building more roads, and I'll lay money just like our buildings here in the county. We won't be able to help maintain them. And I just can't see the reasoning. And all this talk about growth, all these inner cities are dying. Rantoul lost a big chunk of it, and we've had other industries come in and leave. It's not there anymore. We really need to be looking at how can we really help the citizens and keep our infrastructure up to where it needs to be. I drive around Urbana. I spoke to Mr. Gray about some areas. They're pitiful. They are absolutely pitiful. But let's build new. Let's create new. Let's take more land, and let's let that blight set there like we did to Wilbur Heights and other areas. Because we don't have the money to fix them, but by God, we can sure create more. And I just think this board really needs to start thinking about stopping some of the spending, even though we say it's free money.
Patty?
Thank you very much. I have two parts. As I understand Chair Pius,
telling me I can now read into the public record what a constituent wanted me to mention again. I want to say this is a constituent of Mr. Mosier, but he is out of town, so the constituent contacted me. It's with his permission that I'm making these comments for Mr. George Boyd, who has previously appeared before the county board expressing his concerns about the project, and there are three key points that he wanted reiterated. That he feels it's more important to improve Market to Leverett Road than to work on this project of a bridge and an extension of Olympian Drive. He does not think it's important to go over the tracks, and he's emphasizing what Mr. James just said, and that is there is a shortage of agriculture, and if in fact it develops to the extent that people are envisioning, that takes out a lot of agricultural land. So that is Mr. Boyd's comments. Now to my own comments about this project. I want it made very clear that I am 100% for economic development within our communities and within the county. I'm 100% for more jobs within our communities and the county. I'm also 100% for us to consider revenue sharing. And I say that because in doing my homework and re-reminding myself of all the areas available for industry and commercial development in our two communities, and then Savoy and St. Joe and the rest of the county, as Mr. Cope pointed out this evening, there is an abundance of available space, and I have a hard time as a trained urban planner understanding why the emphasis is here rather than the emphasis on the other areas that have potential for development are there. I understand why, because most of the areas happen to be in Champaign, and that makes it hard for Urbana, and that's why I said my third point is revenue sharing, which we are not talking a great deal about, and it won't be part of the decision-making process here, but we have to start thinking regionally rather than just these narrow silo effects of the way we're thinking about how we are going to generate income into our communities, into our county. Mr. Betts pointed out the need for monies within the county. That's definitely the case. However, any projects that we have done within any of these communities have done either as tax increment financing or enterprise zones. All of those have tax abatements to one form or another. So if I, when I sat down on the back of an envelope calculation, if things happen tomorrow, the projection of income really coming into the county and the townships that really also have mentioned they want funds, it isn't going to happen for 15 to 25 years. So it's that part of the argument just doesn't have a lot of merit. Another aspect that interests me very much, especially I did get a number of email letters. Now I know they are from people at the chamber. I recognize that they're constituents, but I see now what the instigation is. And I find it really fascinating that people who are members of the chamber, meaning that they are business-oriented individuals, they themselves would never take a plan that is 11 to 14 years old and implement it today without going back and re-looking at the plan. And I, there's no difference between that and what we're doing today. To push forward on something that was done that long ago with all the changes that have happened within the area just is bad planning practice, period. Another point that I learned as I was doing more of my investigating, and I have not heard this, it might have been mentioned and I'm just not remembering it, but I found out the range of trucks that presently go up and down the Lincoln Avenue that presently exists is from 700 to 1,000 trucks a day. Well, that's a lot of traffic. And if, in fact, then that grows because of industry or development or whatever happens up there that people are wishing for, I try to overlay that over, especially the green, going by all of the residents that presently exist there. And out of that, the range is due to the fact that the emulsion and the concrete plant have more trucks during construction time. And out of that number, 300 to 400 of them come from Super Value, and those trucks will be going up there because they want the connection over to Newell. As we think about the residents in that area, I do think that's part of the this factor needs to be folded into the conversation and our consideration and what our decision is and what should be done there. And for those reasons right now, I have to vote no on this because I think it is time for us to go forward and have fresh studies. Things have changed too much in the amount of money that's being put forth that this might cost. Mr. Blue might clarify this, but I thought I heard that out of that amount of money being talked about, that half of it could be provided by some other sources. But if Mr. Blue would clarify that, please. Thank you.
There is a possibility that if a new study was undertaken, that if it was approved by the policy committee at COOATS, that there would be federal funding up to 50% to fund that project. But obviously that's money that was going to do something else, so you're just switching one for the other.
I understand that. Just a follow-up. I understand that, but what interests me in all of the arguments that are being put forth, that this is $170,000 to $180,000, that is sort of a lost expenditure, when in fact we really don't know that, because that expenditure may turn out to be a route that actually is more efficient, saves us more money, takes less concrete, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Stephanie and then Jay.
Before I even get started, I would like to set the record straight so our minutes read correctly. Steve O'Connor has also built roads, so I think it was mentioned that only Mr. Langenheim has, but I want to give credit where credit's due. All right. This is a very well thought group of individuals that I currently am sitting on the Champaign County Board with. I think that each and every one of us have our own opinions, but I also think that we've not rushed to make a conclusion. There are, as you have heard this evening, there are people that absolutely don't want the road. There are people that absolutely do want the road. There are people that absolutely don't want green, and there are people that absolutely don't know what we should do. I think with the confusion that's going on, and there is, it's an emotional confusion, because who wants to take whatever, whether or not there's a house there, who wants to take somebody's land from them? I am a property rights advocate. I keep saying that. I'm going to say it over and over and over again. It's about sovereignty. It's a moral decision of what we're facing, and I think that's why this decision is so difficult. I have been in development. I have participated in 8 developments, all residential and some commercial. Before we ever begin, process starts sometimes years and years and years, and then you actually go to develop and build it, and you always update your information. I'm not satisfied with an 11-year-old study, period. Before we get started, I guarantee you there's going to have to be additional studying done. It's not going to, bam, start. It's not. I don't care what you tell me. I've been a part of it. It doesn't just immediately begin. If it does, I'm going to be shocked. I'm not going to participate in removing anybody's rights to their land. Just not going to do it. I would hope that Mrs. Squire would come to the table and we can all work on a compromise. Therefore, I think we need an updated survey study on this entire area. Do I want to see economic growth? Absolutely. My son-in-law was just laid off from his job. They're going to deliver a baby in July. He has no benefits. Do I want economic growth? You bet. This is personal. But do I want to do it in the best possible way that's going to serve the people of Champaign County and beyond? Yes. I think we have to take a step back and say, we're proud of the decision that we made as a group. 10 years from now, we're going to be proud of the decision that we've made. We don't want to hurt anybody in this. We want to advance our community the right way. We don't want to do it the wrong way. 11-year-old study is wrong. Get it updated. Let's do it right. Let's give the people the dignity that live out there that they deserve. And that's everybody. It's all the landowners out there. We don't have the right, as far as I'm concerned, to tell them what they're going to do. We want to advance our community, and we want to do it in the best possible way. That's why we're elected, to do that. That's our job. I have discussed with people. I've received emails. I've received phone calls. I've engaged people that had no clue as to what is going on. I've handed them a map and said, you tell me what you think. What's the best route? 9 out of 10 times, I'm told, well, the yellow is a little bit better, I think, than the green route because we don't want big trucks going through residential areas. I think we have to come up with a solution that's mutually beneficial to all parties concerned. That means a new study. Bottom line, I don't care who likes it. It's where we're at. We do the right thing, the right way. As I said before, we want to be proud of the decision that we make. We want to be proud that we've built the right development, the right roads that serve the community in the best possible way that's advantageous to grow our community. Bottom line.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think most of you know my feelings on this project, but I've got a couple of thoughts tonight sitting here listening to everybody. The Chamber, EDC, the cities, they all have a vested interest in economic development, and I understand that. That's what they're all about. But you know who we represent? We represent those people out there. They're in the county. We are their representatives. That's where we ought to be focusing our expertise at. The only folks that's helping the people out there that's faced with this dilemma is themselves. With one exception, I was pretty proud of Farm Bureau standing up for property owner rights, and several of you have. And I even find it a little eerie because even my good colleague Tom up there is concerned about eminent domain. I am emphatically opposed to eminent domain for projects that are questionable. And at the very least, this is a questionable product. And I would never, ever use eminent domain to take land away from those people out there for the circumstances that we have before us tonight. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Brandon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is an old adage that goes, good, fast, cheap, pick two. Makes sense. You can have it good and fast, but you can't have it cheap. You can have it good and cheap, but not fast. Well, you know, I've heard some things from, you know, these are folks that I have a lot of respect for, you know, the Chamber, the EDC, Urbana, others, that we want it cost-effective and quick. Okay, so we want it to be cheap and we want it to be fast, which usually means it's not going to be good. My emphasis this entire time has been on doing the development,
but doing it right. I'm for this development. I'm exhausted over this stuff. I don't know about all of you. I think you all are. The landowners, the people who have been proponents of the development, all of us. It's time to come to a decision on this. And so we're trying to peck away at this. You know, we started with reducing the discussion to just down to Lincoln Avenue and eliminating things west of there for now. Whenever it makes sense to take some road out to 45, we'll do that in good time. But I'm not supporting green. And the reason is that I am convinced through a year of continual meetings with all of the groups involved here and meeting with them all over the county, but especially up at Olympian Drive and that area and going up there and seeing it, that there are better options. I've been told, and many of us have been told time and time again, that there are no other ways of doing certain things, only the sweeping us. Well, we've proven that there's more than just the sweeping us as an option. Is yellow a good option? Maybe not, for all the reasons that have already been said. Is green the best option? I personally don't think so. I understand why people do. Times change. Since the time of the study, times have changed. I almost always agree with my buddies in District 9, but this one, no. Can't do it. Times have changed since this time. We need new information. We've got a lot of good information, and I'm convinced that because of the new information, there's something better than green. You know, if I had my way, I'd go straight up. Straight north and make a stop sign on Olympian. Straight north on the southern part of Lincoln. But you know what? That's not an option. So in the interest of where we are in this entire process, compromise is the operative word. I'm going to vote down green. If it fails, then I encourage us to look at other options. Maybe it's something along the lines of what Mr. Alex stated. But my goal here is minimal impact to the landowners while doing the development. That's been a consistent mantra of mine, and I stick to that. Thank you.
Well,
at risk of displaying engineering incompetence, if you take a look at this map, if you can read near a photograph, I can, you will find that the green line uses the least possible amount of existing row crop land by about 2.5 times. The yellow line is about 2.5 to 3 times as much crop land going out of production as going out of production on the green line. Now, in defense of my engineering background, remote as it is and minimal as it was, I must say that the one thing that remains, we don't use optical instruments for surveying anymore, but things like that. But nonetheless, there is a state of mind, and in order to get into engineering school, you have to have a lobotomy, and I had mine. And I've talked to all these engineers, I've talked to the planners in all the cities, and I've listened to the testimony of the engineers that have come before us, and it is my considered judgment that the green line is by far the most suitable from the point of view of just engineering basics and also from the point of view of causing the least disruption to the populace that's actually affected by the line of the road.
Hey, Tom, and then Astra.
I've been listening to people this evening, and I think people have made very constructive, intelligent comments. This has been one of the best discussions we've ever had at the board, in my opinion. I think it's been very, very good in quality and in information. One of the concerns I have, let's assume green is defeated, and we're going to go back to some sort of drawing board.
My concern is I don't see 27 of us saying, well, when they go back to the drawing board, do another. Some people actually want a new needs study, but they come up with, I don't know, yellow and green make whatever color that comes up with, red, whatever. What makes anyone think that as a result of that, that we're going to get people to vote for that? Because there are people who oppose this project in all forms. If I were convinced that we could go back to the drawing board and draw something after spending $160,000, $70,000, whatever it costs, that we would somehow then be able to get a plan that people agreed on and would adopt, I'd say go for it. I am not convinced that this board has enough people that will vote for the brown plan or the purple plan or whatever it is, because everyone, this is like six blind men and the elephant. We all see it differently. And there's an expression I remember from law school, is that a duck-billed platypus is created by a committee seeking compromise. And I think that may be the result of what we do. If we send this out for another study, we're going to get a duck-billed platypus. I hope not. I really hope not, but I am not convinced that the brown plan, the red plan, or any other plan will pass this board.
Yeah, Bastra, and then Jonathan, and then James.
In regard to Brendan, good, cheap, and fast. Since we're already 14 years past fast, maybe the green line is good and cheap after all.
Okay, Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. There's been a lot. No. This is my name, please. You know. See, I lost my train of thought. There we go. I'm back on track now. Thank you. The last few days, and it all started after our caucus, and I was going to say I want to echo one point Tom made, and that's the discussion we've had. I think it's been very good. That's what our committee meetings are supposed to be all about, and no mindless gum smacking either. I don't think we've had much of that. Not much. But I'm not done yet either, so. And the last few days, like I said, it all started at Thursday's Republican caucus. It came apparent to myself and a few other people that this thing needs a push. It's taken a while for me to come around to doing Apollo, to Lincoln, Olympia. I think it's needed. I need a lot of convincing about that. Funding, I need a lot of convincing about whether or not there was actual money to do this project that wasn't going to take from anything else, be it in the county. And that was taken care of. And I'm sufficiently happy with how that has come about, where it's basically paid for. Now, when it comes to Lincoln, I've always been a proponent of you can't do A and B without getting somewhere, and that's X, and that's Lincoln Avenue. And here we are. And I believe it's definitely needed to be done. I've had the opportunity to meet with pretty much all of the landowners concerned up there now, as of today. And I've had a real education, being from the southwest part of the county, I might say. And being one from a rural area, I know how that impact can be. I'm less than 2 miles, about a mile and a half from Interstate 57 with a low cloud ceiling. I can hear all sorts of things from Interstate 57 when the wind's out of the east.
it can be loud. So 250 feet from a two-lane highway is really going to have, on a busy traffic day, have an impact. But I think, just like my colleagues, a lot of my colleagues have talked about, is compromise. That's what we are trying to do, to get some compromise here to move this thing forward, because I think it's something that's doable and I think it's needed. And with the mayor going on record tonight and saying that another 50 feet is doable away from the Baron's house, because that, I don't think it's far enough, but I think it's a compromise. And Jeff and Bill, I think we can, if we can take that two lane and push it on the very west side of that, that should help too. The easement's going to be over there, 250 feet away from the Baron's house, but at least the road will be a little further than 250 feet if we keep that two lane over on the west side. The yellow line was an alternate that when I first looked at it, I was concerned, because we don't know when this property is going to be developed, and you're taking a big chunk of land and you're going to cut it, and you're going to cut it deep, and that land to farm it is going to be difficult to farm at. It may be 20, 30 years before there's any kind of development. And who says it's going to develop? There's got to be a willing seller along with a willing buyer. But I think it's a necessity to do Lincoln Avenue. I was trying for a compromise to see if we could split the difference between red and green. And I don't think that's doable, but at least the biggest part of that was trying to get away from the Baron's property. And I think when it comes to Mr. Cope, I think that there's a pretty good chance, too, that we can keep that right away out of his property, too. And I hope we can do that. That'll be a charge that we can do that to stay away from his property. To where we don't have to purchase or condemn any of that property there. So I came into this yet today thinking that I wasn't going to support Lincoln Avenue with the green line. But I wanted to see the red line. It was the original study. It was a choice of even engineers. I sought compromise. A group of us over time have been trying to figure out what we can do that's best up there. I mean, I don't know how you keep big trucks off. Trust me. Oil and ship, township roads, they're 14 foot wide. I mean, and I'm not talking about grain trucks with hopper bottoms. I'm talking about there are trucks that will go anywhere in this county at the right particular time. We just need to make a path, I think, up there. Alleviate what will be old Lincoln Avenue and get this on a road where those trucks won't want to get into a soft median on a 14 foot or whatever it is, 20 foot oil and chip up there. They'll want to stay on a two lane that's got a shoulder that's hardened, and hopefully it'll cut down on any dust. There's going to be dust up there, but hopefully it'll cut down on that. So I've come into this tonight thinking I'm going to go ahead and vote with green. And I'm not changing my mind, but I desperately try to find some type of compromise. And I don't think if we're going to spend a lot more money to try and find that, well, we've got resources that we need to plug money into in other places, like upkeeping this building or taking care of streets or roads we already have in the county. I think that's it. There's some other caveats that before we make a final vote down the road that I'm going to put on green. So with that, thank you for yielding.
And Jan, and then Lloyd.
Well, a lot has been said, and it's been very interesting, and I think good to air this. But responding to some of the other comments, agree with Mr. Schroeder, compromise is always good. But I went to a hearing when Urbana was holding that study, and I remember that night we had fill out forms, and when Al talks about
visuals and buffering. You know, there were a lot of choices to make where you could indicate, and I heard officials from Urbana kind of indicating that they would like to work with the property owners up there on buffering and that sort of thing. But at that meeting, I remember Laura Huth was representing the men, and she indicated that they were not going to come and participate in that discussion, and that was disappointing that they weren't there and in an earlier stage when they could have offered that in a more public discussion setting. And Patsy mentions places like St. Joe and many other. Where would you put industrial growth around St. Joe? I mean, that would be taking more farmland.
I would start on 150.
Well, you mentioned St. Joe, and I think this is keeping it with closer to the cities where you have railroad, and you're talking about structure available. And I thought about the update. I've heard 1997 being mentioned, as that's a long time ago, but I know that Urbana has every 5 years, I think they do their comprehensive plan and look at that area, and it's been reviewed and studied. And I know that Kuat's, I'm not there, but I think Ralph attends all of the Kuat's meetings, and there's an updating too. So I think even though the study we keep referring to is 97, there have been updates over the years, so it's not like we're not aware of development that has occurred. So I intend to continue to support the Green Move.
Okay, Lloyd?
Yeah. Well, the old saying is, if you start wrong, you end wrong. And we've been sitting up here for hours and had hours of nothing. Why don't we just go back and say, I apologize. The landowner is the player to begin with. They should have been on board before anything. So that was overlooked. And to me, somebody haven't seen to go back and straighten that out yet. So my suggestion is, as a board member, and please, somebody go and talk to the people that own the land that you want, and get them on board. And I guarantee you, and I don't think they're that hard-hearted. I think if you go and apologize to them and see that you're going to deal with them honestly, we'll get this show on the road. Instead of sitting up here wasting all these hours talking about red lines, green lines, and we ain't getting nowhere. Because you haven't satisfied the people that you want to put the pain on. And there's nothing but a common sense. We don't need no study. I had sister enough work that built a 17K substation on Shady Apples, man.
That's why it's closed.
Now, you elect these people with diversity, school teachers and lawyers, whatever, to take care of your business. But you don't let them do it. Some way you get in the lead, a little conversation, and come up with all of this. Look here. Look what I got up here. No communication, no talking about, then you want me to sit up here and swear to this, that I don't even know anything about until I get up here and see it. Now that means you got to sit here and try to digest all of this information to come up with a reasonable answer. Ladies and gentlemen, we're smarter than this. We're smarter than this. I think we need to quit politicking a little bit and get down to business. That's the problem. And cut out, let your committee, go back and let your committee solve this. You don't need to spend no money. You got people that here is able-bodied enough to solve this problem if you just give them the chance, which should have been done in the first place. And I hope somebody can see that and go back where you should have started in the first place. and get the landowners on board and satisfy them, then you got your project. If you got the money, that's the only other thing, is the money. Thank you.
Steve O'Connor.
Thanks, Ray. Just one final comment, please, on the quick and cheap. Building roads is like buying oats. Good, clean oats cost money. If you can settle for oats that bend through the horse once, they're a little cheaper.
Ms. Chair, Madam Chair, it's yes for the green and no against the green, correct?
Yes.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
No.
Anderson.
Yes.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
No.
Coart.
Yes.
Holderfield.
No.
James.
No.
Jay.
No.
Jones.
No.
Kurtz.
No.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
No.
Michaels.
No.
Nudo.
No.
O'Connor.
No.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes.
Failed.
Failed.
Pius, with the consent of the board, I would like to have you direct Mr. Blue at the next meeting a month from now to come up with the alternatives are to completing Lincoln Avenue to Olympia Drive at the next meeting, if possible.
That's pretty wide open.
Well, it means we're obviously going to have to spend some money. And the question is, you know, where can that money come from? What can we do? We've talked about where to do a partial study versus other studies, which are complete studies. So I'd like to have a presentation about that. You know, which ones involve a partial study, which ones involve a complete study, how much they cost, where do they go, things like that. In other words, I think we need to carry this part. We just voted to contact them, so we need to continue to find a way of doing that.
Right. We voted to realign Lincoln Avenue.
That's correct.
But now we voted not to use the green line.
Right, that's correct.
So we need to find another way.
Point of order, I have the floor, Ms. Michaels. We voted twice. We voted to connect Olympia.
Just a clarification to Chair Weibel in his request to Mr. Blue. Is that going to be in the format that he'll come forward, that there will be requests for proposal for other entities to do the study, or is this an in-house study?
I just asked Mr. Blue to come up with what was your question? I'm sorry.
In essence, my question is, will he come up with a request for proposals for other entities to come in and do the study for the county?
I just asked him, how do we get from A to B, and what do we have to do to do that? Does that make sense?
We'll go from B to C eventually, right?
And by A, I mean from Lincoln Avenue to Olympia Drive.
Let me clarify that we don't have the expertise or the time in our office to conduct any kind of phase one study to be able to get from one point to the other.
So we will have a request for a proposal for some other agencies to do the study, correct?
That could definitely be an outcome.
Thank you.
Christopher.
I think something that we need to clarify sooner rather than later is these comments that we've been hearing about the difference between the cost of studying the red alignment versus studying a complete new alignment. So I think what I would really probably like to see above anything else is, and I would hope we could get this in advance of the next meeting, would be a statement from you, potentially also working with the city of Urbana, to identify what the county board's options are at this point. You know, essentially, we could proceed with a study of the red alignment, which we believe would cost X and take X number of months. We could completely reopen this, go back to the drawing board, and end up with, you know, to look at all possible, put all possible alignments on the table. That would cost this amount of money, take this many months, because, frankly, I'm reaching the end of my rope and having different people telling me different things and sort of metering out the information based on what they think will result in the outcome that they want. And we've had, you know, this has been going on for year, and I think it's finally time for some transparency, both on the part of the county, the city, and everybody involved, as far as here's what we can actually do, and here's how much it's going to cost, and here's how long it's going to take. So I think the sooner we can get to that point, the more we're going to be able to, you know, determine how we should be moving forward.
Okay, Brandon.
It will also be helpful to have board members missing tonight, so to have them involved in future processes. But Jeff, I think what I would have in mind, and this is absolutely open to opinion and editing, but similar to what Chris said, we've talked about yellow, whatever that is, and 18 months, let's say it's $160,000. That puts us in a time crunch also, putting at risk the monies that are already there. And one of the benefits of doing this is that there's money there. And then red, whatever form red takes, and to hear people on both sides clearly, openly. I certainly echo what Chris is saying about the transparency, and to get all of the parties, encourage them to be at this already exhausted table in the process. So both sides. I think that we remain close to getting a solution that everyone can live with. So a compromise is, this is just a committee of the whole, but if our best option is something that's going to take us 18 months, the clock is ticking. If the best solution is something that turns out to be something that can be solved in a year, then it's still ticking. It's not great. This is not ideal. But we have less chance of putting the monies at risk, which I think is important, because an important point here were the first two group votes that we took, which were overwhelming support to do this. Thank you.
Can I ask a question before Al? The money that we have, is that the money to do Olympia Drive and not Lincoln Avenue?
There is money through Illinois Jobs Now, ICC, which is the Commerce Commission, as well as the federal government through their STU allocations to fund 100% of Olympian Drive. There is currently $1.4 million to fund Lincoln Avenue, and whatever costs beyond that $1.4 million for the Lincoln Avenue project would have to be divided by the local entities.
Al?
Thank you. I would like to ask the chair to appoint a committee to work directly with Urbana and the landowners at the same table. I've found that the process that I have been through, or all of us have been through, is pretty frustrating, to be honest with you. That's where I think Mr. Alex is talking about getting information, misinformation, disinformation. That's true, that's not true. I think it's time for a face-to-face sit-down with all parties with the idea that we're going to hammer and make this thing work. And I've seen it happen in many, many different ways when you do something face-to-face. So if the chair or this body would recommend to the chair that we do that, at least we can come back with some idea of what direction all parties are interested in going. Right now, it's just public participation and our opinions. It just doesn't make any sense. Quite frankly, I participated in a couple of sit-downs over the last couple of days, and they've been very fruitful with parties that are involved. So I'd like to continue that.
I have the floor, Madam.
Yes, you have the floor.
Okay. I just want to clarify this. We talking about county property. We talking about roads, county roads, not in the city.
Once Lincoln Avenue and Olympian Drive are constructed, they would not be county highways. But current Lincoln Avenue is a township road, not a county highway.
So that's what I want to clarify. The Olympian Road not considered as a county road.
No. Nope. Right now, everything west of the railroad tracks is maintained by the city of Champaign, not by the county.
Okay, then, if it's not a county road, Lincoln Avenue, should Laura Preston be setting up a committee to meet with the homeowners?
Could I ask you a question?
I think it's yes.
Why is it you, the chair of the highway committee, you have members? What's wrong with it? Why do you keep on going out and selecting these other little bodies to add on? What's the deal with this? You have highway committee.
Yeah, we
voted on and approved in this county. And why is it
there's not a highway committee anymore?
But who's objecting to that?
When we voted to go to the committee of a whole, that dissolved the committee structure that we had before.
Well, see, I misled again. I was told that was going to happen. See, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, Stephanie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what would exactly it take? Because I think we need to move quickly. I don't want to waste time. I want this to be done. We've made a decision as a county board to vote Green down. We need to come up with an alternative plan. And I think it would be in everybody's best interest if we comprise a committee of people that are directly affected. And if we get a couple businesses out there that are affected, the landowners that are affected, someone from the county, someone from the city of Urbana, we need the city of Champaign, whatever. But I think whatever we do, it needs to be done ASAP. No letting grass grow underneath our feet. Let's get something put together, and if that's the case, then how do we go about doing that, and do we need a motion?
Okay, but we're not going to get a committee tonight. Stand and then pass.
That's what I was going to say. With some members being absent, it'd be best probably to wait to the full board meeting. But I'm just going to say this, since we're the committee of the whole, and we have committees that have been working on some of these issues, and then when everybody comes back to us, we still have 1,000 questions. What is wrong with all of us being in the same room, and Mr. Blue, and the mayor of Urbana, and whoever else wants to give us a presentation? Give it to us. That way we're all hearing the same thing, the same numbers, the same graphs. And if anybody says, well, that's a lot of work, well, it's a lot of work to sit here all the time and go back over it 50 times. Why do we always got to have a little committee that reports back to us? So I would suggest to you, Madam Chair, since Lloyd and I both concur, you have the power.
Right.
Rule that's how it's going to be.
And I agree with you because of the transparency.
I'll call you tonight.
You have people that have been doing this and have the expertise because they sit here and learn this. Then you're going to throw it out? Come on, please. They've been building bridges and roads for you. And you haven't had any problems. Now all of a sudden they got so dumb that you go, come on, please.
Okay, Patsy.
Okay, I'm really getting confused. I thought the point was to have the engineers come up with best alternatives, at least three. Now, if maybe the county board wants to set out the parameters for those engineers to be looking at, though I think I understand that's not the way the directives from IDOT works. Maybe Mr. Blue can clarify that, but I have some clear parameters that I would lay out and would like to see three possibilities come back so that there are three things to look at, not just one, which is in essence what it was this evening.
I think when IDOC do their study, it wouldn't be anything that we would lay out. They would study the whole perimeter.
Follow-up question. Whatever happened to Project C in all of this conversation that's on this map?
Project C is
that
what was
die in the dialogue or what?
Project C is what was brought to the committee by the attorney for the landowner.
Point of order.
Yeah.
The reality is we have voted on the item, which is the green item. There is nothing on the agenda right now. The chair of this committee, in drafting the agenda for next month or in combination with Mr. Weibel, can put these issues on and people can make their suggestions, but this is actually out of order.
Can I just say that literally the timeline, if we're going to go through a full-blown Phase 1 study, is tighter than you would believe, even though we can't bid this thing until 2013. So, to, like Ms. Silverfield said, to let any grass go underneath this thing could be disastrous to the ultimate outcome, which was voted on heavily in favor to vote, you know, A, on Olympian, and to realign Lincoln Avenue. So, the quicker we can move.
Jeff, at my point of view, I don't disagree with that. It's simply that there is nothing on the agenda for the motion, and that motion would be out of order. We are having a meeting very soon. The agenda can be drafted by Ms. Cowart and Mr. Weibel to put it on our full board agenda as an item that we can address, and people can make their suggestions of the motion.
Okay.
Okay, 2 weeks. Chris?
I don't think it's unreasonable at all to convey the sense of the board to Mr. Blue that we would like him to come to the next meeting with an indication of what the available alternatives are. I'm not talking about alignments. I'm not talking about lines on a map. I'm saying we can do this study of the red alignment for this amount, this many dollars, or we can start over and do a study of these for this many dollars. I have not heard anybody who's disagreed with that statement, so I think in the absence of anything else, that's probably what we're charging Mr. Blue to do.
Mr. Blue is going to bring it to the full board meet in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Is that acceptable to you, Jeff?
Yeah. We can fix as fast as we can.
Okay. Other business. None. The chair doesn't have a report. The only thing to go on, we got 1, 2, 3 to go on the consent agenda.
Four, is it? Yeah. Second. Need a motion. The chair will clarify that at recess. I guess
Thank you. Time to take a seat. We are going to proceed with business. Folks, we have a few presentations tonight at county facilities. I note that there is a very extensive environmental land use agenda this evening, and when Mr. Kurtz comes back this evening, I would like a colloquy with him because I'm not sure we are going to get through that entire agenda, and I think that the full county board meeting has a lighter agenda, and we may want to, rather than give those items short shrift or not enough time, we might want to delay those, but I'm going to let Mr. Kurtz, when he gets here, make that decision. Okay. I would ask folks to allow Mr. to address us.
Certainly. The monthly reports should be distributed to your desk. There's nothing, not much on it. There's just the first couple of months as we're just getting started into the new year. You should have been also handed out a
small spreadsheet for the Brookings Energy Lighting Retrofit Project, just to bring you up to speed. I didn't get any handouts, so I assume you got it. If you didn't, I will make sure it's for you next month. We're moving from pod 100 to pod 200, soon to be moving into pod 300, then 400, replacing gymnasium lights and stuff. So we are progressing on that. Thank you.
Mr. Sapp, is Mr. Sapp here?
Oh, that's that. That's a full construction. You did not receive the spreadsheet for the lighting project. You did receive the monthly reports just for the first 2 months.
That's
correct. Okay. I'm sure that's our fault. We'll make sure we get it out. Okay. May I move on?
Apologize.
It's okay.
I'm diabetic and my sugar went.
On your handout also is the 202 Art Bartel construction project. This is a recently updated schedule, construction schedule, supplied by Rossler Construction. If you remember their original bid package, their projected construction date was on 4/15/2011. They have lost approximately 1 week. Of course, this is all dependent upon the amount of rain and the time we get outside this spring, because they also have site work and concrete work. The building itself is on project, and they are interior partitions and drywall mechanicals are in place now, and it is moving inside the building quite well. Deb has a budget.
Yes. Just an information question. I wasn't on the board when this building was approved, so my question is, what will be the energy efficiency factor for this building when it's finished? Do you know?
As a design-build project, we had very little input onto the exact specifications, but we did specify that it meet all current energy codes adopted by the city of Urbana. Depth spreadsheet. I don't know if she wants to. The monthly project budget report is for the 2R2 Bartel, updated for you by Ms. Busey. And
I would entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Covert, seconded by Mr. Jay. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries.
Yep. Okay, this next item is just an overview of the qualifications-based selection process. And we're doing this for new board members who've never been through this and to remind old board members how this works. In this presentation, I am not going to go through the whole thing. You each have the handout at your desks. I'm going to go through the initial stages of it in summary. Yeah, there was one at each desk tonight.
She likes the bachelor.
What is QBS? It is the qualifications-based selection. Is an objective, flexible procedure for obtaining architectural, engineering, and surveying services for public projects. It is a selection process that is intended to be straightforward and easy to implement. It is well documented as you go through the process, and hopefully will raise your comfort level and lower personal risk with regard to public projects that you would be engaging these services for. It started with the Federal Books Law, which was adopted in 1972 and established a federal policy to select architects and engineers based on competence and qualifications. The state of Illinois in 1987 followed suit by enacting the Local Government Professional Services Selection Act, the site is there, which establishes a local government policy to select architects, engineers, and land surveying services on the basis of qualifications and to then negotiate contracts that are fair and reasonable. The Local Government Professional Services Selection Act requirements include it applies to all units of local government in Illinois except home rule units, which would be, examples would be the cities of Champaign and Urbana, and units with a population of over 3 million, and guess who that is. It allows firms to annually submit statements of qualifications to public entities if that is a process that is selected by the entity. It requires local governments to notify firms of projects by mail or by advertising in newspapers. It requires local governments to evaluate qualifications of firms and authorize interview or public presentations of firms that are selected. It requires local governments to rank a minimum of 3 firms in order of preference and begin negotiations with only the top-ranked firm as they go through the process. Local governments are required to prepare a written scope of work for the negotiations at the beginning of the process. If they are unable to reach a contractual agreement, the top-ranked firm must be dropped from consideration and negotiations should begin then with the second-ranked firm and so on until a satisfactory agreement is reached. And except for the negotiation process, the requirements of this act do not have to be met by a local government if they have a satisfactory relationship with one or more firms. So no matter what, when you're engaging architect, engineer, or land surveying services, you're required to negotiate the terms of the contract, but you are not required to go through the entire quality-based selection process if you are recommending working with a firm with whom you've already established a satisfactory relationship. Or if an emergency exists and a firm must be selected in an expeditious manner, or if the cost of the services are expected to be less than $25,000. So how does QBS work? The first step, the owner identifies the general scope of work and the projected time frame is established. Step 2, public notice is given to the professional design firms. Step 3, a selection committee is appointed. 4, statements of qualifications are requested and received from interested firms. 5, after evaluation by the selection committee, a short list of firms is established. 6, a tour of the site and interviews may be arranged for the shortlisted firms and provide some benefit, usually for the project. 7, the evaluation committee selects 3 top-ranked firms in order of qualifications. 8, all firms receive post-selection communications. And 9, negotiations are conducted relative to the actual scope, services, fee payment, schedule, and contract. If an agreement, as I said earlier, cannot be reached, you move on to the next ranked firm. Now, the slides following this just take you through each one of those steps and the specifics of all that is done in order to achieve fulfillment of those steps. I'm happy to stop here and let you take the information home with you because I'm sure you can all read it. It's very straightforward. It is not a terribly complicated process.
Questions?
The bottom line is you never bid for these services. You don't select someone to perform these services for you based on cost. You select someone to perform architectural engineering or land surveying services for you based on qualifications, and whoever you select first, then you negotiate the terms for contract and what you will pay for those services.
Mr. Carter?
I'm going to tell you, that's been the law. I don't see nothing up there that I have been to a seminar and the same thing up there. Now, the only thing, they haven't been enforcing it.
Actually, Mr. Carter, I'm sure that's right because you've been on the board for a long time. The only reason we provided this presentation is for new board members.
Okay, Ms. Petrie?
It's a clarification question. It's under the page of Illinois Local Government Professional Services Selection Act requirements continued. It's that slide.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last bullet of the three, and exception for the negotiation process. I guess it makes me wonder about closing down the opportunity of finding other firms if there have been long-term relationships with one or two particular firms. Because what it says is requirements of the Act do not have to be met by a local government if they have a satisfactory relationship with one or more firms. So then how does the outside firm have a chance of getting in?
That's a statutory legislative remedy that you have available to you. I think that's a question that you have to answer as a policy matter as you deal with engaging firms to provide these services for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you, Deb. The next matter is a recommendation for an engineering firm for the stormwater portion of the project. And there's two options, option one and option two, and they directly relate to the presentation that Deb just did on the QBS. If Deb, you could briefly explain option one and then briefly explain option two, and then I'll entertain a motion for one or the other.
Directly relating, as you just said, for the current stormwater management project, which is part of the 202 Art Bartel construction project, we're at the point where we need to complete the design for that project. And option one is to use the exception, which allows you to work with a firm that you have a satisfactory relationship with for these services. The County Board has worked with Burns Clancy on a number of projects over the last 30 years. Documented in your packet, starting on page 33, is a listing of all of those projects, many of which Burns Clancy was selected for as a result of a competitive process, and a number of which they were simply hired by the county to complete because of their familiarity with this East Campus, which is what we're talking about for this current stormwater management project. If the County Board were to select proceeding with Burns Clancy and moving into the stage where we would negotiate a contract with them, the next steps would be to appoint a negotiating team to negotiate the detailed scope of work for this project and the fees. The County Board can require the identification of any sustainable or green solutions to be incorporated into this project as a portion of the scope of work. The time frame, if this option is selected, this is very aggressive, what appears on page 31 of your packet, but it is possible that a contract could be negotiated and presented to you for consideration at the County Board meeting yet this month. Option two is to go through the process which we just looked at with the steps that are defined by the qualifications-based selection process and the outline of the steps and the time frame. Again, it's a very aggressive time frame, but the worst case is that it would take an additional month, meaning that the project would begin 5 weeks later than if we select option one. Alan and I concur in our recommendation to County Facilities that we adopt option one, as we believe the greatest benefits can be achieved in both cost and time in getting this project moving forward with the utilization of the firm who has already done so much work and is so familiar with this entire project because of all of the work that they've done on this campus over the years.
Mr. Richards, I thought you had your hand up.
I'd like to move option two.
Is there a second? Second by Ms. Petrie. Mr. Alex, this is for discussion on option two.
Deb, when was the last time that we did one of these processes for this or a similar type of work? In other words, when was the last time we qualified Burns Clancy or their competitors through this process?
In 2006, with the Reeves study,
That was that not done as a competitive process?
And since 2006, how many other engineering firms have you worked with on guidelines other than funding?
Engineering firm for the highway fleet maintenance building was selected by, it was not Burns Clancy Associates.
BLDD.
It was a firm selected, worked with, yes, BLDD, that is correct.
In the past 5 years, have we worked with any other engineering firms other than those two?
Have we worked with HRA in the last 5 years?
No, we have not.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Carter?
I don't see any place in here where you're supposed to have minority participation. That's supposed to be the law, too. The fact of the matter, that's the reason I missed the last meeting last Tuesday. I was at Caterpillar at a seminar, one old small business. And any firm that bid on any particular project and have federal dollars in it, supposed to list the participation of his minority participation. I don't see that in here either. So what I'm saying is, and we talked about this, we've been trying to get the county to fess up to his low participation of minority contractors. We still can't get off the ground with it, but we always want to set it in law. I don't know how some parking ticket can have a priority over somebody's rights to have a job. And that's what we seem to do. So I think we should look at that again and make more process of letting everybody have a fair chance of making a living.
Are there any pre-qualified minority engineers?
Firms, no.
Okay. Ms. Emmons, then Mr. Richards.
I would be in support of Mr. Richards' motion for some of the same reasons that have already been illustrated here. And this is something that we've talked about, Deb and I, about that process. I would be very concerned, having gone through a process similarly many years ago in Chicago, to try to break into a particular market that was very closed. And this is a example of that comfort level of counties and governments to work with people they already know. And I would be concerned about us continuing that process. So I would certainly support us opening the opportunity for other engineering firms to be pre-qualified and certainly inclusive of minority firms.
There are not any pre-qualified minority firms.
We do not use a pre-qualification process.
I was just referring to the language in this.
Right.
But at this moment, I would support opening this process up with option two.
Mr. Richards?
Okay, going back to option one versus option two, Ms. Busey, as you just said, these schedules are pretty aggressive. Is there a reason that we're trying to move very fast on this, other than getting it done as soon as possible?
Well, I think it's part of it is getting it done in the season in which it needs to be done. Is that?
Yes, this stormwater work is all tied with the Art Bartel project. We are going to finish up this spring with the building site drainage, which the city has allowed us to run overground instead of tying into the underground storm system. But we have to catch this water before it travels further down to across our property and back into the city of Urbanus. Will a month hurt us? No, I don't think it will, but we definitely need to try to get it done during this construction project or end period.
Okay. I certainly agree with your conclusion that Fancy probably would do a great job, has done great work in the past. But unless I hear otherwise, I do think that we should probably do our due diligence and put it off a month and at least have our bases covered, put it out there for people to look at.
Mr. Alex, and then Ms.
We
when I was on the sanitary district board, we ran into this issue regularly. I mean, there's a choice between whether you work with the contractor or work with the engineer you've been working with in the past, who knows the facility. You know, you don't want to competitively bid every engineering project every 3 months, or you're going to be spending all your budget having people get up to speed with the project that the last engineer did. That being said, we did have a process there where basically every 3 to 5 years, depending on the class of services, we would identify a preferred vendor who was going to provide those services for the next 3 or 5 years, at which point it would be competitively looked at again. So I think if we haven't qualified, I mean, obviously Burns has done great work for us. I'm sure they've done great work for the county. But there are other engineering firms in town, and I think if we haven't qualified them through this process in 5 years, it's probably time again. So I would be supportive of doing the QBS process.
Betsy?
Well, I just like to add to the comments. I have the map here of the work, and I know that there are other approaches to handle the stormwater, and probably in means and ways that would be less costly to the county. And for those reasons, I'm really in support of option two and opening up the process. And why are we limited to firms here in the community? I mean,
We're not.
No. Oh, then I misunderstood what people are saying, because I know plenty of firms around about the state of Illinois who can do this work and introduce some really new interesting concepts. So I'd like to see us pursue that.
Yep.
I'm going to call an Astrid first.
Oh, Astrid, I'm sorry.
It's you, Northern Watershed Stormwater Concrete Box Storm Sewer. Oh, and ask them how they will do that without checking whether there might be something better that they could be doing. I mean, are we asking them to do stormwater management or asking them to do the concrete?
I'll ask Burns Clancy to put this history of their workforce on the East Campus together. They chose to put that on there because they did work for BLDD, they did work for BLDD and did design the stormwater retention ponds that are now around the Highway Fleet Maintenance Building. And they did design, start of a design, that we have part of this concrete box storm sewer extension already installed underneath the new driveway that leads from Main Street to the Highway Fleet Maintenance Building. So that's the name they chose to put that on there. We know our basic scope is we have to extend that box somehow, somewhere, to the west, to the east, and then tie into the rest of the northern watershed of our East Campus. So that's how they come up with the name for it.
And if I could just add to that, part of the reason for our recommendation is the fact that Burns Clancy has already done so much of the, and Alan, please feel free to jump in and correct me, they have already done so much of the work that is associated with stormwater management for this entire campus, and it is very likely that work that they have already done for us would have to be done again if we hire a firm who hasn't previously done that work for us, which we would envision as, because they own the work that they've done, and a new firm would very likely have to engage again in doing some of the things that Burns Clancy has done to be brought completely up to speed to move this project forward. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Right.
Mr. Jay.
Well, nobody dislikes spending money for professional services any more than I do, as they can, any of the people who's been around here long would tell you. I think, though, in this case, we might be missing the boat. Burns Clancy has done a lot of work. In fact, I made a comment to Mr. Burns one time that I didn't know how he could survey again without hitting the stake that he'd surveyed there before, because as we was developing the East Campus, we kept having the lots surveyed. But Deb made a good point, and I don't want to belabor this. He has already done a lot of the work here that's done presently, and with plans to do more. My concern is we might get more for our money. You don't know in this process. I don't like this process that Deb just showed you, because you go up there and you pick out these people not having a clue what they're going to charge you, and then you have to negotiate a price. Well, they've already got you the first door open, but I lost that battle, by the way, every time I saw we had to do that. But at least with Burns Clancy, we know what we're getting, and I do believe that he could probably do it for less money.
Mr. Nutter, then Mr. Alex.
Yeah, very quick question. We have a question here. What was the budgeted amount, Alan, for this stormwater? Was it 450? That's right. Okay. Thanks so much.
Higher budget.
Mr. Alex.
I just want to make the point that I think the work that Quentin Burns has done in the past and familiarity with the project and with the site are factors that, if I'm correct, are factors that enter into the QBS process. So it may well be that when we look again, Burns Clancy emerges as the preferred alternative on the basis of that, but I don't think it hurts to look.
Other questions? Mr. Quisenberry?
Yeah, could you make an estimate on how much rework or getting up to speed would have to be done by a new engineering firm? I was asking our expert.
You're asking?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. A guess would be they're going to have to either buy the documents, someone else is over, buy documents of the existing surveys, or they're going to have to resurvey the entire northern stormwater shed area and then determine the flow rates and do all the calculations to figure out, you know, how much rain we're going to have in a 5-year, 50-year, or 100-year, okay, and then determine how to. They're going to do a lot to figure out what is existing, what we have built, what it is, and what they need to do to it also. So it's going to be quite extensive for another firm to come in.
If I could follow up, do we have other projects in the hopper, so to speak, that we would be looking at this process with that aren't so tied into work that's already been done?
Certainly anything that we move forward with regard to the jail would be something where we would definitely be starting over with in terms of, I mean, it's not related to what this work is and will require engineering services.
Ms. Holderfield?
For me, I guess I kind of like option two. Part of the reason why, and I think Burns and Clancy has done and will do a great job. However, you know, do we have a system in place that will check what Burns and Clancy has done to ensure that it's been done right? I mean, I've seen sometimes the same engineers on the same project over and over again, and when there is a new engineer that has a fresh set of eyes, they catch mistakes. And so, you know, as I said, I think Burns and Clancy will do a great job. I'm sure they are excellent in everything that they do, but a fresh set of eyes can always add something to it and make sure that, you know, I've seen roads put in by one engineer and then we're off half a foot because another engineer caught the mistake of the first engineer. So, you know, I just think that, you know, being devil's advocate here, I think sometimes it's not a bad thing to consider.
Mr. James.
Sort of what Stephanie said, I was going to say the same thing. I do favor one for the process and how fast it would go, but then looking at the cost, we're talking, you know, close to half a mil. I do like the idea of a fresh set of eyes, much like we have done with the auditing firm and some other stuff. But with that said, I think that we need to do it just because, you know, we're dealing with the public's money and we need to make sure we're doing the right thing so that there's not any collusion there. And I think that, as Stephanie said again, we'll get a better look at some things, possibly not saying that anything's been done wrong, but if Burns and Clancy would ever merge with somebody else, we would be working with another firm anyway, and I think it's time, due to the lapse in the years, that we probably do go out and advertise.
You're talking about that would have to be redone. Didn't we pay for them originally? Did they just do them on their own?
Yes, we did pay for the ones we have done, and we have all the documents that we could share with a selected group, but there are certainly will be field verifications that will have to be done that I do not have access to the calculations, the data, and all the stuff that BCA has amassed over the course of working on our East Campus.
Jan?
If we would go with option two, does that, I mean, could Burns Clancy be one of the people that apply as well?
Sure. Yeah. Patsy?
To reassure my fellow county board members, since I've worked on a lot of these projects, it is good to have fresh eyes. It doesn't take a lot to get it to speed. They're professionals. And I would encourage, you're only talking about engineers, it should be engineers and landscape architects. And one of the things that I see in the present plan is that it's through the engineer lens and not through the engineer and landscape architect lens.
Mr. Langenheim?
Will this project involve the retention basin that's north of the highway building?
More than likely, the original intent when the retention basins were designed for the Highway Fleet Maintenance Building was that that would be used to tie into the remaining stormwater drainage for the northern watershed for our East Campus, approved by the City of Urbana.
So that it will be involved?
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, I'd like to make a point. That basin, as it currently is built, I consider it to be a hazard. You have a stone wall around it. When it's full of water, you fall into it. There's no way to get out. In other words, it's a vertical wall. And if it's a child or something like that, you might have somebody drown in there.
Okay. Other questions concerning the motion that's on the floor, which is option two, Mr. Quisenberry?
I was just going to call the question.
Okay.
Second.
You don't really need to call it if there's no one else has their hand up to talk. Did you want to? Okay. Since I sense a division of the body to some degree, I'm going to ask that the clerk call the roll. Yes is for option two. No is against option two.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
No.
Carter.
Yes.
Cohen.
Yes.
Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Jay.
No.
Jones is not. Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Nudo.
No.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Sapp. Schrader.
No.
Weibel.
Yes.
Motion carries. Chair's report, I have no report. There is a matter on the addendum, which I don't have. Have the board request approval to submit Champaign County Courthouse masonry and restoration of bell tower reconstruction to the Southern Illinois Chapter of American Institute of Architects Biennial Design Awards Program for Historic Preservation. The chair will entertain the motion.
So moved.
Second. I'm going to count this as Mr. Quisenberry because he's right in front of me, and Ms. Cowart. And if we could consider this to be done at the committee so that they can get started on this. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? I hope we win. Yes, we need a negotiating team under option two, since you adopted that. And I, who normally would be on such a team?
Well, I have a little bit of a concern because the scope of work for this project has been defined by the Art Bartel project and the budget that we'd established for the Art Bartel project.
Correct.
And I believe I am hearing from board members that you think this scope of work should be expanded.
I think what you heard is that they wanted option two. I don't think we should conclude that they wanted expanded.
Okay, because we would be preparing the scope of work document based on what was approved with the 202 Art Bartel construction project, which is not more than what was anticipated in the stormwater management portion of that project, which is consistent with what we have negotiated with the city of Urbana and received approval for moving forward in terms of what we will be doing with stormwater management. Just wanted to be clear that when we do a scope of work, that's what it's going to be based on. It's not going to be based on anything more than that.
Mr. Nudo?
Well, that's primarily why I asked the question about the amount. I mean, we've bonded that amount.
Right.
And
that's
so
our budget.
That's our budget, and we've bonded that amount, and I am concerned, although I would vote in favor under normal circumstances for option two, I don't think changing the horse in midstream is going to put us in a position. It might put us in a position where this person has to get up to speed, and some of those costs that Burns Clancy had already absorbed in working with this city of Urbana to get it down to 450 was, I think, prudent at this point. I think on new projects, I'm all for option two. This one, I'm not in favor of because I think we've ridden the horse.
You're using the wrong word. It's not bid. Carol Emmons.
I think this is part of my issue with these things. In reality, option two was not really an option. And we continue to come to the board with things that appear to be options, but in the longer scope of things, it's really not an option under the parameters that are already set, which means that we've already in some way obligated ourselves to the current architectural firm that's in the documents if option two was not really an option.
Excuse me. There's option one was to go with Burns and Clancy.
That's right.
Option two is to use the full QBS process. We do not know what the result of that process is going to be.
That's true.
There are many engineering firms, so I don't think it's fair to say that option two is not an option. It is an option. Now, what if, and I know what Deb was alluding to, if people want to talk about landscape to architecture and things like that, that changes the scope of what we have done within our bonding and within our budget. That is a very different issue than option one or option two. If people want to address that other issue in terms of changing the nature of the plan, that needs to be a separate agenda item and people better be prepared to come up with an alternative means of financing it.
If I could just ask, Mr. Chair, I don't think my support of option two was not based on changing any of the current arrangement, except that we do not preclude automatically that a particular firm gets to do the work. That, to me, is cronyism. I'm concerned about a list of one company getting all of this money from the county, and the county being the elected body to ensure fairness and equity and inclusion. It doesn't exactly do that. That is really what the baseline for me supporting option two is, not to change any of the parameters of the work, but to make sure that, A, we have the second eyes, and maybe Burns and Clancy's is just the best process, no problem, or B, that possibly there's somebody else who could infuse something separate on this process, and I think we have an obligation to do that. That is my concern, not to change the scope.
We've adopted option two. But what I'm hearing is that option two wasn't an option, and if I'm mishearing
it. It sounds in our response as I just received Mr. Noodle and Ms. Busey's explanation is that really it wasn't an option.
That's right.
Although it was on the table, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, if it... I don't think that was the intent. We're beating a dead horse. You won. Mr. Prisoner?
That's why.
Oh, I'm sorry. Astrid?
That's why.
The owner must identify the general scope and particular need. That's what I was asking about with this concrete box. That's what Burns Clancy wants to do. But if someone could do it in a greener and cheaper way, I hope we're not going to go out and say, how much will you charge to make a concrete box? Because the general scope is more than that. It's wastewater, or it's water management, stormwater management, and there are lots of people who do it greener and cheaper nowadays, they say. So I trust when we're looking for people, we would accept people who could do it without the concrete box.
No, that would come from the responses that you receive. I just want to be clear that the scope of work is strictly just for stormwater management on this campus, and that we have an estimated budget within the budget that we've adopted for the 202 at Bartell project, which anticipates just that, right?
Mr. Jay.
Well, just very quickly, Tom, I won't try and belabor this. We've had a bad, serious relationship doing this project once. I believe it was the courthouse. We picked this fabulous architect firm out east that was miraculous and put on this really good show and had us all believe in things, the best thing since peanut butter. And so we got to them, and their price was a little pricey. But we've come back to the board and said, you know, these guys are a little higher than we thought. And to make a long story short, we hired them. And I don't know, it was a month or 2 months later, we parted ways because we couldn't get along with them. They wanted more money. So this isn't an open and closed book. It's a process that has some pitfalls, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not a perfect process. And why we'd want to change when we got somebody that's already done part of this work is just beyond me at this time. I do understand the open process. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't know that this is the time we ought to have been beating that to death.
We are beating it to death because the motion has already been adopted. So I don't understand. But my only conversation is we now need to engage ourselves in the QBS process. So there is going to need to be, at some point, a negotiating committee appointed. Am I correct, Deb?
A selection committee. The way the county has done it, I believe we've had a selection committee to review all of the responses that we receive and come up with the shortlisted firms. The shortlisted firms would make presentations to the entire county board and be ranked by the entire county board, and we would then come up with the rankings that we have to follow when it goes to negotiating.
And since we are on a tight schedule,
right,
the selection committee normally in this situation would consist, I presume, of Mr. Reinhart, yourself.
Right. And two or three county board members. And I don't know if any of the other, do we need to engage any of the other department heads that are affected on the campus?
I don't think so,
okay.
No.
Can we take that action tonight?
I think you can.
Okay, we want a selection committee, and Chair Weibel, in terms of a selection committee, Mr. Reinhardt and Ms. Busey, I think, are necessary to be part of that.
We need
two or three county board members.
We can maybe do it at policy next week, because we won't. Okay.
I don't know whether this is my prerogative or your prerogative. I know I would volunteer as chair of the facilities to serve on that committee.
Well, it sounds to me this is a committee that's a facility area committee, so I think that you could appoint the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm volunteering myself, and so I'm putting myself. Mr. Jay.
Just one quick interjection. We might want to consider Jeff Blue just because of his expertise.
I think that's a solid recommendation. I would like this to be very bipartisan or tripartisan. Do we have Republicans and Democrats that would be willing to? Ms. Petrie is volunteering. Do I have some Republicans that are willing to volunteer? Come on.
I was going to say you need a Republican.
I really think it would be very good to have a Republican or two. Mr. O'Connor?
I'd volunteer if everybody understands that Tom Burns and I have been good friends for 45 years.
you know what? Many of us in this room have gone to Tom Burns' Christmas parties and what have you. I think if it's going to be friendship, I think we're all going to become disqualified because we all know Tommy Burns, with very few exceptions. Mr. Carter.
The law says in the book that we got 20 years ago that you have from, you got to choose from both parties.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
And the both parties have the odd number, but you have to choose from both parties.
So that's what I'm doing.
That makes you bipartisan, right there.
Mr. O'Connor has volunteered. Ms. Petrie has volunteered. I'm volunteering. I'm willing to have one more Republican. I'd like one more Republican, Mr. J. That way it's truly even. So we have Mr. J, Mr. O'Connor, Ms. Petrie, myself, Mr. Blue, Ms. Busey, and Mr. Reinhart appointed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Okay. Okay, environmental and land use. It is 9:30. Say it out with the.
Point of order, Tom. Can we?
I'm sorry.
I think we have a consent agenda designation. Is there anything for consent agenda? We have no items for consent agenda. Okay, thank you.
I would like to have a motion that we move the ELOC agenda to either next Tuesday evening or the Thursday evening board member. Now, the reason I say the Thursday evening board member, it's usually now much more condensed and much shorter because we pretty much have everything. What's the
question?
Make a recommendation. Okay. Which two?
C1 and C2.
C1 and C2.
Oh, next Tuesday's not heavy. Okay. All right. I've been told that next Tuesday's agenda is not heavy. C1 and C2 can be moved. I'm sorry. To the board meeting. John.
C1 and C2 are here for a final recommendation, either tonight or perhaps next week. Next week's committee meeting.
Oh yeah, C1 and C2.
And then you can take final action on them at the full board meeting this month.
Is that?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to indicate. I think there's considerable discussion that can be had over item B1 with regard to the 2 for 40 and such. However, I think the other items have all been discussed at length at a previous meeting, and I'm not sure there's any benefit to not doing the business now, unless anyone on the board has initial items to discuss.
Is the height of the fences, right?
Yes, one.
C, final recommendation of County Board for Zoning Ordinance, is the height of the fences in the county. Discussed that previously. We could knock that off pretty quickly if it's okay with the board. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. On C. Request to amend Champaign County Zoning Ordinance Case 665-AT-10, petition of Champaign County Zoning Administrator.
So moved.
Okay, we've got Alex 1, Hollifield 2. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Pass. Okay. That'll go to the board. Well, no, it's got to go to the board anyway. Right, it's got to go to the board. Okay, and number 2, quick, John, was that request to amend Champaign County Zoning Case 666-AT-10, petition of Champaign County Zoning Administrator.
This was to clarify certain aspects of our standard conditions for special use permits,
which we had already discussed. Second. Move Alex, Connor. You're sitting on Moses' chair. Okay. But I obviously know the difference. you're much more sedate. Any discussion on that motion?
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed. Okay. Then the rest, what I'd like to get is a motion. Wait, one more? I'm sorry.
Item E.
Item E. Oh, this. Oh, yeah, the addendum on E. I'm sorry, that's right. I didn't see that one. Amendments to the existing contract and lease agreement for 2010-2011 countywide residential electronics collection. That's certainly something to look forward to. Motion by Anderson, second by Ammons. Paul, any discussion?
I do have a quick question about that. I understand that a subsidiary of Novus Industries is taking electronics at the recycling location in town. If we have a private industry accepting these items, is this still necessary?
Okay, we have an agreement that was a two-year agreement that we entered into last year. And if the agreement is continued in the future, the desire of the participating other agencies would be to go out for bid and have an open process and include Mervis. As it is, Mervis is not offering services that we are proposing to provide here on the weekends. So it's not a similar kind of thing. They're open from 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. We do promote Marco's Steel and Mervis when asked about other options. So it's information out there. We have a good relationship with Marco's Steel and Mervis and share that information as we promote these countywide events as well.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, last motion. To move 9A and B to next Tuesday evening.
Second.
Oh, B. I'm sorry. That's right. B to the next county board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
By Quisenberry, second by Cowart.
Discussion? Point of clarification. This is a motion to defer these to the next Cal meeting, the upcoming meeting 1 week from today.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Patsy?
I'm still not clear. Are you deferring all of B or certain
ones?
Yes,
we're deferring all of B.
All of B.
Right
thank
now.
You very much.
All of B. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Well, one more item quick. Item 10, semi-annual review of closed session minutes. The legal counsel recommends we keep it closed at this time. Motion by Mr. McGinty, second by Mr. Butts. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Motion carries. We have to go into closed session to do that. It's a semi-annual review. I mean, we do need to work on this, and I'll work on it. Yeah, go ahead.
The board is required semi-annually to determine whether or not to maintain closed session minutes as closed. There are closed session minutes that have previously been approved as closed session minutes, but twice a year you're required to look at all of your closed session minutes and determine if any of them can be opened. And you usually rely on the state's attorney's recommendation of whether or not to maintain them as closed, and I believe tonight his recommendation is to go ahead and do that.
Right, but we will work on this. There is a backlog of these minutes we need to look at, and probably some of them can be released. Correct. Okay, we're good.